United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club.
Well, so The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Good morning and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on the 17th of June, 2014. I hope you're having a good day today. The sun is shining. It's a little muggy outside, but I'll take it compared to what we went through this winter. Just warm weather and sunshine does well. And I know the sun's shining. I'm playing happy, Jeff. I'm sorry. Is your mic up?
What?
Did you hear what I said?
No. I was turning things on. My mic is not on.
Your mic is not on?
I can't hear me.
Well, I can't help that. I didn't do it. Hey, listen, I have some people in studio with me, and they're from InShape MD, and I'm going to introduce them in just a second as soon as I figure out what Jeff is doing, because you know he just won't act right. But I'm not supposed to play Happy unless the sun is out, because when it first came out, I played it so much, people hated it. And so now I'm addicted to it, so they just have to get over it. So how are you guys doing this morning?
Doing very well.
I have Dr. Rob Moser and Stacey Owens from InShape MD. It is a, what would you call it, an aging and weight loss?
We're an anti-aging and weight loss clinic.
Anti-aging. So if I come to you, I will. When I turn 50, I'll go back to 30, right?
Something like that.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
we're a physician-guided wellness boutique. We will guide and help you with any issues that you may have, weight loss, hormones, energy loss, vitamin deficiencies.
So if I go, so I'm going to come in, and I'll be 50 this year, and you're going to roll the clock back.
Our goal for you would be to get your youthful figure back.
Oh, that's what I want to hear. That's and make it easy for me to do it, right?
Very easy.
It's so easy. 30 days.
30 days, and I'm good.
You can do anything in 30 days.
In 30 days, we are going to change your body.
You hear that, Jeff?
You said when you turn 50.
Don't start. Hey, the number here is 347-945-5229. Stacey Owens, you are the general manager. Tell us a little bit about InShape MD.
InShape MD is a physician-guided wellness boutique. We have you come in. Most folks have driven by or heard us on the radio. They come in. They sit down with one of our wellness consultants. We go over what their needs may be. We do a full blood panel workup. Then they get to see the physician, and the physician helps them and guides them and what their treatment might be. It's weight loss. We have a couple different programs on that. We do HCG, or it might be hormone replacement for men or women, B12 for energy, and we also have a variety of vitamins, and we're working on some programs for particular vitamins for each person individually, and we do skincare. So we're a well-rounded facility.
How important with the climate of today is wellness? And we talk about wellness here. We actually do a whole day on it, and we have a physician come in. But right now, with the changing of the medical profession, how important is wellness?
Wellness is essential to living a long, healthy life. I'm going to give you a little background on what I do. I am an internal medicine doctor. I am what you call a hospitalist. So I only see patients in the hospital. And the most common causes for coming into the hospital, I've found, are preventable if you take care of yourself. And we're looking at strokes, we're looking at heart attacks, we're looking at diabetes are the big reasons that people end up in the hospital and complications of those. And so if we can prevent those diseases by living a healthy lifestyle, you can prevent hospitalizations and you're going to live longer. And unfortunately, as you and I were talking earlier before we got on the radio, your insurance is not paying for preventative health insurance.
No, it does not.
They're not paying for you to go to your doctor for your well appointment. I have a lot of physician friends who do outpatient medicine, and their patients don't show up for their well adult care visits or their well child visits. And obesity is becoming an epidemic here just because our insurance companies would rather pay to take care of your diabetes than to pay to prevent it.
Why is that? I mean, seriously. I mean, you know, just for a sidebar, you would think that they would want to make sure that we were healthy. You would think that they would actually encourage you to, and pay for, you know, and it being offensive instead of being reactive and being defensive afterwards. Because I know so many people that are diabetic. My family, most of the people in my family are diabetic. I don't like needles.
Sure.
I know that if I have to take a needle, I'm headed to the morgue. I know that. Me and a needle sticking. I was diagnosed with MS several years ago, and I was on Avonex. And the nurse came out, and she gave me a little orange, and she said, now, this is how you do it. You rub it off like this with some alcohol, and I can actually poke the orange and inject the orange with anything you want. She said, now it's time for you to do yourself. I'm like, no.
Not
that's out.
Yeah.
Absolutely. She's like, well, you. Mm-mm.
If it's going to save something on me.
Listen, I just dropped
it. That's crazy.
There are a lot of people like me that are not needles. And diabetes is, and hypertension, and they're not fun when you actually get when it happens.
Sure.
And you need to really lose weight. You need to look at hormone replacement. Because all that adds into your longevity, and we're living longer, but you want to have a full quality of life.
Exactly.
You really do.
It's so wonderful when folks have come in since January and they, you know, they're off their medication now. They've lost 30 pounds, 50 pounds.
It makes a difference.
Makes
sure. We have
difference.
Diabetics who have lost weight and literally are not taking any diabetes medications anymore.
That is awesome.
Now
how? Tell me a little bit about the protocol that you guys have when it comes to weight loss, and then I want to go over to hormone replacement therapy.
Okay. We actually have a couple weight loss programs out there. The most popular is our HCG diet, and that is daily injections of HCG. HCG is a naturally produced hormone, and what it has been shown to do is while you are dieting, trying to lose weight, it protects your protein mass. So you hang on to your muscle. You maintain good body mass, and you lose fat. So that's what we're all trying to do. We're trying to hang on to muscle and lose fat. And in the process of a low-calorie diet, people's body mass indexes are improving. They're maintaining their muscle mass, and they're feeling better.
And we've lost, since January 2nd, we've lost over 800 pounds. I went on the program myself. Women tend to lose about 15. That's our average. Men tend to lose 30 pounds in 30 days, so they do really, really well with HCG. But great, great program.
I actually did the program myself. January 6th, I was 220 pounds. I did 30 days of HCG in our low-calorie diet. February 6th, I was 195 pounds. So I lost 25 pounds in 30 days simply doing our program.
Why is it that men can lose that 30 and I have to struggle for the 15? I don't understand.
It's simple genetics. It deals with muscle mass. Men have more muscle mass than women. So unfortunately, me sitting here doing the same stuff you're doing, I'm burning more calories because of my muscle mass than what you are.
It's just so unfair.
It is.
It's just so unfair. What are the other protocols?
Well, then we have some less aggressive forms, which are appetite suppressants. We use Qsymia. We use Atipex in combination with low-calorie diets. And our diet is not just a low-calorie diet. It's been specially modified to stimulate your body's metabolism. Okay. Weight loss, your body is designed to store food. And if we starve ourselves or we eat unhealthy, our body says, hey, we're just going to put all this into fat and store it. And so what our diet has been shown to do is stimulate your body's metabolism so you burn fat. So you're burning your calorie and you're retraining your brain to say, hey, this feels good. I'm losing weight. I don't need all the extra calories.
And the food is clean. It's just wonderful. It's proteins, fruits, vegetables. It really, it's a lifestyle change.
What I'm going to ask is, since you're a medical doctor, do you work through people's insurance to treat them on these things?
This is no, we do not accept any insurance. And unfortunately...
Affordable Health Care Act. Absolutely.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the Affordable Health Care Act does not pay for well adult visits and preventative medicine, so we don't accept the insurance. And what we found is people are more successful when they go do it on their own. When they say, hey, doc, I'm shelling out the money. I'm going to be here every day, and I'm going to be there as the physician for you every day. You do much better.
Do you have payment programs, or
sure.
You can pay as you go?
Sure. We can lay away if you want to.
Very good. Listen, I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Hey, you didn't give me the information on how to reach you guys.
There's a couple ways. You can go to inshapemd.com. We're on the web. Or you can call us at 330-726-8900.
I'll be right back.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor, Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley and read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Jennifer Keegan with your headline news. A former Austin Town Fitch football and basketball star has been suspended from the University of Notre Dame's football team. 20-year-old William Mahone was charged with disorderly conduct, assault on an officer, resisting arrest, and more. Police say when they arrived to a Mahoning County address over the weekend, Mahone was drunk, headbutting, and punching cars and trying to fight people. The head football coach with the University of Notre Dame has suspended the wide receiver indefinitely from all football-related activities. Police are looking for thieves responsible for stealing an estimated $50,000 worth of cameras and equipment at YM Camera in Boardman Township. Security tapes show three men wearing gloves with their faces covered, filling up garbage bags of items from the store shelves. Call police if you have any tips. And strawberries are ready to be picked in Canfield. This June's crop at White House Fruit Farm is expected to last up until the 4th of July. Strawberries in the valley survived a rough winter this year, unlike other fruit crops. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
If you know what happiness is to you, clap along if you feel like that's what you want to do.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, and I have Dr. Rob Moser and Stacey Owen, and they are a part of InShape MD, InShapeMD, and you can go to InShapeMD.com. You can locate them at 330-726-8900.
Exactly.
Good going, because I don't have my glasses on, and I did pretty good with that.
That was excellent.
And we were talking about weight loss, and they do a I'm looking at the services that they provide. They do anti-aging, weight loss, supplements, lab tests. You said skin?
Skincare. Jan Marini Skincare.
And so I'm going to go to the anti-aging and the hormone replacement.
Sure.
And we'll just walk through this for just a little while. I did not, you were talking about, you know, when I think of hormone replacement therapy,
mm-hmm.
it's always for women.
Sure.
What do you mean that there's stuff for men?
Well, men go through what's called male menopause, and we
no,
talk about.
No, they don't.
Oh, we do.
We go through menopause. You guys go through. You know, you always. You know, what's it called? The 40 year itch.
The midlife crisis.
That's what I'm saying.
There you go. There you go. No, it is true. Testosterone slowly declines in men starting at age 29.
Whoa.
And so that is our biggest hormone for our energy, our muscle mass, our libido, our sense of well-being. And what we're realizing is you don't just become testosterone deficient overnight. There's gradual stages of testosterone deficiency. So when you're 25 years old, you may have a level of 700, and it slowly, slowly goes down over time to where you might have a normal level of 350 or 4, and you are having symptoms. And so we're looking at, wait a minute, guys are having these symptoms. Maybe hormone replacement is what we need to be doing with them. And studies are showing that by doing small amounts of hormone replacement in men, you can get your sense of well-being back.
Now, wait a minute. Let's go back to this.
Go ahead.
Men don't pay attention to testosterone replacement, anything.
They do.
That is not at 29 and 30.
You don't have to at 29 and 30.
But if it starts to deplete at 29 and going on.
Correct.
They're not paying. No one. Do they know that?
They do not. Most men don't.
See what I mean? They don't know that.
We're just accepting it. We're just accepting that, hey, you
so
know what?
How do you
40,
know?
I have my little beer belly. I feel like I'm tired all the time. My muscle mass has gone down. And we attribute it to, we're just being lazy. We're not working out like we used to. Well, there's a reason. Your hormones are changing.
Really?
Exactly.
So what do they do?
Well, you come see me, and we get you on some testosterone, and we get you feeling better.
Now, that's what I need to ask, because on all the testosterone cream replacements,
sure,
commercials on TV, they're saying, or not on TV, but they're saying that they could have caused older people to have heart attacks and strokes, et cetera, et cetera. Explain.
Well, yeah, let's elaborate on that. There
uh-huh.
is a lot of controversy right now with testosterone,
uh-huh.
and some literature out there is saying, hey, wait a minute, it's leading to strokes and heart attacks.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but there's a lot of literature out there saying, wait a minute, if you are using testosterone appropriately and which our clinic is doing. We are not trying to create NFL athletes out of the 45-year-old man. That's not what we're doing. We don't want superhuman men.
I wanted to go play.
Your NFL days are done.
The Brown needs some help.
Johnny Manziel's going to need some offensive help, I tell you what.
Right.
But what we do is say your levels are 400, which is in the normal range, but you have the symptoms of low T.
Mm-hmm.
You have a decreased libido. You've lost muscle mass. You have central fat. You are tired. And all those are all the symptoms of low T. And we say, well, let's start you on a little low dose of testosterone. And we get your levels up to 700, where you were at when you were 29 years old, 25 years old. And you start feeling better. The literature is supporting that, hey, as long as you are closely monitoring that, and which we do, we draw lab work at three months, we draw lab work at 6 months, and we draw lab work every year while you're on testosterone therapy to monitor this, you are going to feel better, and you're going to get your youthful glow back about you.
Mm-hmm.
Men have a youthful glow. Did you know that?
There you go.
Well, it's called swag.
I see them swagger in every week to get their vitamins, get their shots. So, yeah, I see it.
So now, you know, we see a lot of ED commercials.
Mm-hmm.
Will that assist them with ED?
Yeah.
Because when you say low T, a lot of people, you know, most women, and especially because ED and low T, and for those of you who don't know, that erectile dysfunction as well as low testosterone, that's what what they call them. If it was not mentioned in public, it was coming from. If you are younger than 40, it's a little bit more people, you've heard about it. Over 40 people, that you would never hear anything like that. Oh, my God, you don't say that.
Yeah. Well,
that's a bad word.
Well, you could ask my wife. Men are terrible at talking, okay? And we don't like to talk about, hey, maybe we're less of a man if we have erectile dysfunction or we have low testosterone. But it exists, and more men are starting to say, hey, wait a minute, I don't want to be this way. I want to feel better. And if it is a testosterone-induced problem, we can fix that. And that's why our clinic at InShape, what we do is we do a full hormone profile when you start up. And we gauge it. We say, hey, where should you be at? Should you be in the weight loss program? Should you be in the testosterone supplementation program? Or should you be on our other supplements? And so we are trying to do the whole wellness scale, get you feeling better from day one to day 1,000.
And we can read into it. When the gentlemen come in and they say to me, hey, Stace, you know, I'm fuzzy, you know, I can't remember things, I don't have a lot of energy and things of that nature, we can pretty much, you know, realize there's a lot of other little things, too. So they don't have to come in and say, hey, I have erectile dysfunction. They can have so many other little things, and once they see the doc, then...
So when do they decide to come? At what age? At what time? At what stage? When do they look?
You can come at any time. I have guys who are 39 and say, hey, wait a minute, and I'm 39. I don't want to go on low testosterone. I don't want my levels to decrease. I want to stay where I'm at. I have guys coming in at 60 saying, hey, this is how I'm feeling. I want to get back to where I used to be. I want to feel good in the gym again. I want to feel good with my wife again. And so we are prescribing testosterone therapy to them. But what we do is we do a full hormone panel on you and identify where you're deficiencies are at, and then we will supplement you to those deficiencies. And that makes our clinic unique. We're not just throwing you on testosterone. We're analyzing all of your hormone levels and saying, hey, this is where you're deficient, or this is what you need. Because some guys, and we all know that obesity decreases levels of testosterone. It decreases your free level of testosterone floating through your body. And so maybe the first step is, hey, we need to lose some weight, and then see where the testosterone levels are at. When I did it, my testosterone level increased by 100 points just by dropping 25 pounds.
Wow.
So I got back into the gym feeling better. I played basketball on Sunday nights. I'm feeling better playing hoops. So it was a total transformation just by dropping weight. However, the next step would be, if my testosterone didn't come up, then, hey, let's supplement you a little bit. And, again, it is to keep those levels within your natural bioidentical hormone levels.
And women can also, hormones can be great for women, too.
In what way? I mean, because when we talk about women, but women we don't think until we get to 50 or then we start going through the change of life that we call it, or menopause.
We're noticing that women are also testosterone deficient. Women have low natural levels of testosterone, obviously not as high as a man, but there are. And what I'm seeing in my clinic is a lot of women are coming in, their testosterone levels are low. And so we have a couple who are on testosterone, and they're like, "Doc, I feel better."
So if they're low, if they have low testosterone, what does that mean?
Well, you can have the same symptoms. You can have decreased libido, decreased energy, decreased muscle mass. You're just, your biceps and legs feel flabby. You increase fat around your belly.
Hold on. So if I come in there, my arms will stop waving when my hand stops. Is that what you're saying?
Wait a minute.
If you're telling me that I can come in there and I can start waving and my arm, when I stop waving, my arm will stop waving too because I come in there, I will be there. What time is it? I get off at noon.
All right, I'll see you there at 12:30 if I'm done with work. It has a little bit to do with that. Obviously, diet and exercise are the key to any longevity program. However, once you say, hey, I'm dieting, I'm exercising, I'm doing the right stuff, and we need a little bit of help, that's where the hormones come in and say, hey, are your hormone levels out of whack? Let's recreate where you should be.
And we're with you every step of the way. We give you the food plan. We give you, you know, exercise plans. You know, anything that you need, we're there on the phone. We see you once a week for your B12 energy shot. So we're with you every step.
And you guys are
a
complete wraparound program. You guys help facilitate the whole program. Am I correct?
Correct.
So you just don't write me a script, send me off to the pharmacy, and say, go for it.
No.
I call my patients probably on a weekly basis. Our clinic contacts the patients on a weekly basis. You stop in and we see how you're doing. So it's very closely monitored. We're not just leaving you out there on your own. We want you to be successful. And a lot of that success is us motivating you and saying, hey, let's stay in touch. I'm happy at your success.
Now, where are you guys located?
1111 Boardman Canfield Road in Boardman.
Where is that located?
Right next to, if you're familiar with Allure Spa, or right across from Mill Creek Park.
Yeah,
Drive,
the golf course, right where the golf course entrance is at. All the guys know where it's at. We're right across the street.
Okay.
All you ladies, it's right across the street from Mill Creek Golf Course on 224.
And the trail.
Well, it's a little bit down from the
trail,
but the entrance to the golf course on 224, it's right across the street.
And so now, can I call for an appointment? What do I have to bring? What do I do if I want?
You can just walk in.
What, can I walk in?
Walk in.
Yep. You can walk
in anytime you want.
Anytime. We're open 6 days a week. Our shortest day is Saturday, 10 to 2, but every other day we're open pretty much 10 to 5. So we're full service. So if you come in and have your wellness consultation and you're ready for your panel to be drawn, we can do that and get everything going. Then get you to see the doctor, physician, and away you go.
And in my initial walk-in, you know, to find out, is there an initial cost for my walk-in for my assessment, or just can I walk in and just start asking questions?
Walk in and ask questions. It's free.
Now, if I came to you, and could I draw my panel from my doctor? I know I'm going to be going in for blood work.
Yeah, we have patients who want that done on their insurance, which most insurances are covering that. So
mm-hmm.
I will write you a prescription to have it done, and then they'll fax the results to our office. We will then analyze everything, and then at the meeting we'll go over all your levels and everything like that and say, hey, this is where you should be. This is the program that's right for you.
Okay. So you guys can work in conjunction
we
with
We can work
those
in conjunction, yeah. We do have our own lab work at our facility, and most people are like, hey, let's just get it done here, because that is included. Your lab work is included in the price of our programs.
Okay. And you do have a layaway program.
We do have a layaway program.
Now, when I lose weight, I've lost weight, I've gained weight, I've lost weight. I want to get down, and I never want to find it again. I want to lose it. And then I want to flush it.
Okay.
And never want it to return again. How will your programs, maintain? So you talked about you lost 25 pounds
mm-hmm.
and your testosterone level went up.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you're good. How do you get to the place where you have long-term sustainability?
What we do is we have a specially modified diet to retrain your brain on what portion size is. Portion size in this country is out of control.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you a story. My wife and I went shopping for our kids for their birthday, and we walked into Toys R Us. And as soon as you walk into Toys R Us, what is there? There's
candy.
There's chips. Are those toys? That's what our society is teaching us, that food is now a toy. It's entertainment instead of what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to keep us alive. Okay. Now, granted, we all enjoy eating, you know, going out, eating a steak on Friday night and whatnot. But our society has put so much focus on food. You can't watch TV, you can't listen to the radio without hearing a food commercial saying, hey, come eat this, come eat that. And you go to a restaurant.
Supersize.
The food portions are out of control.
Yeah.
So what we do at InShape MD is our special modified diets, one that we start you out low, okay? It is a low-calorie diet, and we're going to retrain your brain on what healthy portion sizes are. And then we slowly graduate you up to almost what a normal diet is, and then we say, hey, you're back to a 2,000-calorie diet. 2,000-calorie diet is a lot of food. Once you retrain your brain to say, hey, I don't need 2,000 calories per sitting. I need 2,000 calories all day long. And at 2,000 calories a day, you should not gain weight. You should not lose weight. You should just maintain. And that's where we're going to get you to. We're going to retrain your brain to realize what portion sizes are to say, hey, I'm going to maintain my weight once we get it off of you.
And give us the number out again.
It is 330-726-8900, 8900.
And the address?
1111 Boardman Canfield Road, Boardman, Ohio.
Skincare.
Skincare, we have just, through corporate, through our franchise, have just adopted a program called Jan Marini Skincare. You cannot find the skincare Nordstrom or Dillard's or any other facility. It's a physician-guided skincare. It's retinol. It's a five-step program. We also have eye creams, et cetera. It's an extremely popular program on the West Coast. It's moving this way, and our franchise has adopted Jan Marini Skincare as our skincare.
And that has an SPF in it, and it takes care of, because we were talking about this the other day, there's a lot of skincare products out there that you think are good for your skin, and they're really not. They're either clogging your pores or they don't have SPF in them. And no matter who you are, you know, as being an African American, you know, for years I never thought that I needed it.
Well,
and
we had a young lady in the office that was on Prozac or Proactiv. And she's off of that now and doing the Jan Marini. And I've actually went on the Jan Marini, and it was great for my fine lines. I won't tell you how old I am. And my little parentheses around my mouth. So it's really a wonderful, wonderful program. You need to come in and take a look at it.
Because everybody wants something that's going to be light, that's going to be that's going to help my face. Because, I mean, age is just going to happen. You're going to age. But you do want to age gracefully. And not harshly.
It does have a lot of rejuvenating properties, and it's really good for just filling in your wrinkles and the things that you need. It makes a great difference.
Now, does any of them have erasers on it?
As soon as we come out with that, I'll let you know.
Please do. Listen, I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. We're talking with Dr. Rob Moser and Stacy Owens, and they're from InShape MD. You can go to their website at InShape MD, or you can go call them at 330-726-8900. We'll be right back.
Steel Outdoor Power Equipment is as dependable and hardworking as the people who use it. People like firefighter Dan Eddy.
I love steel products. We use them on my job with the fire department. I use them at home.
This season, dependable steel trimmers start at just $129.95. Hardworking steel blowers start at just $149.95. Visit steeldealers.com. All prices BES SRP at participating dealers.
Visit Eldorag and Turf Equipment Company on State Route 14 in East Palestine. 330-426-2166. Online at ElderEquipment.com.
Declare your apartment or rental house a bummer-free zone with renter's insurance from Grange. It protects the contents of your home from such major hassles as theft, weather, and plumbing mishaps for just pennies a day.
Let Crab Insurance Agency, your Grange independent agent, show you how a Grange rental policy is an even better bargain when paired with Grange auto coverage. Call Crab Insurance Agency at 330-332-1586.
Products not available in all states.
This is an important announcement for anyone with a student loan who is having trouble making their monthly payments. Pay attention. There is a special toll-free hotline that has been set up especially for you. Grab a pen and take down this number or put it in your cell phone, but call 1-800-293-4131. That's 1-800-293-4131. When you call the National Student Loan Relief Hotline, you will get free information. Free information to help you relieve the overwhelming financial burden of an ongoing, endless student loan. If you are behind, late on payments, or even in default on your student loan, National Student Loan Relief can help you. You can cut your payments in half right away. away. National Student Loan Relief will also stop the harassing phone calls, wage garnishments, and even remove tax liens. But you have to call 1-800-293-4131. National Student Loan Relief has helped thousands of people just like you fix their student loan problem. Call 1-800-293-4131 for free information today. That's 1-800-293-4131.
Drowning in credit card debt?
Realize credit counseling only lowers interest and takes up to 7 years?
Thinking about bankruptcy, but found out the new bankruptcy law forces you to repay your debt and may ruin your credit for 10 years.
If yes, and you don't want to risk your property or your future, and you need fast debt relief, call the U.S. Financial Management My Debt Negotiation Program.
My debt negotiation paid off my bills in only 36 months and helped me avoid bankruptcy.
Get the superior solution to bankruptcy in credit counseling.
I reduced my debt by 70% and with one low monthly payment.
And harassing collection costs.
I was afraid to answer the phone until my debt negotiation stopped the hassling once and for all.
Restore your credit.
We finally bought our dream house.
Stop overpaying credit card companies today. Grab a pen and take this number down. 1-800-563-1283. The call is free. The money you'll save is real. Don't wait another day to resolve your problem. 1-800-563-1283. Hurry before the new law doubles your minimum monthly payments. Call 1-800-563-1283 now.
Do you find yourself constantly tired?
Do you have pain, migraine headaches, or digestive upsets? Or you just feel like your immune system is weak? Call Dr. Matt Mason at Mason Wellness, 330-219-6250, or visit our website at masonwellness.com.
The women of Warren and the surrounding areas now have a choice for affordable glamour. Charlie's Consignment Boutique on East Market Street in Warren has a fine selection of reasonably priced women's clothing, as well as clothes for men and children. You'll also find a great selection of shoes for everyone. Our consignment shop stocks jewelry and accessories and cosmetics by Mary Kay. Charlie's Consignment Boutique in Warren. Call 330-766-5778 now to schedule a complimentary facial. 408 East Market Street in Warren. Here at Pet Spa Salon on Western Reserve Road, we offer many services to our customers' pets, including bathing, grooming, nail trimming, and we even brush, bathe, and trim cats. Pet Spa Salon uses only all natural products. With 35 years experience in the business, our expert staff works slowly and gently to put even the most fidgety pets at ease. Come into Pet Spa Salon and get your fur baby looking and feeling great. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. 1122 Western Reserve Road. Call for an appointment.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It's 44 minutes after the hour of 9. Jeff, get out my ear. And it's the 17th of June 2014. And I have some great people in here from InShape MD, and I want you to go and check them out, research them. You know, I'm always talking about fitness and wellness, and I'm trying to get it right. And when we talk about this, I want everyone else to get it right, because you know I am totally, you know my political views on insurance and where the country is going with insurance. And the only way that you can solve the problem so that you don't have to deal with it is to be healthy. If you're healthy, then you really don't have to deal with, you know, a lot of the bureaucracy of your medical issues and insurance.
Exactly, and that's where the trend in medicine is now. It's preventative medicine. I'm going to prevent you from having
it. We finally got it.
I'm going to prevent you from the diabetes. I'm going to prevent you from the heart attack. I'm going to prevent you from the stroke. You're going to live longer. You're going to feel better.
Because you want to have – I mean, as I age, and as I said, I'll be 50 this year, I really want to have a great quality of life now that I've learned all the hard lessons up to the first – up to the 50.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to get to 50 and not be well.
Sure.
That's just bad.
Yeah.
And it just takes 30 days. All we need from you is come in and talk to me.
You
and
just
see
need 30
me.
Days?
30 days.
30 I days.
30 days is it.
That's it?
You can do anything in 30 days.
Hey, Diva, your mic is on.
Hello?
She was.
I heard a voice there.
Good morning.
Morning.
How are you this morning?
It's morning.
In 30 days, they tell me that I can look like you.
You don't want to look like me. I don't even want to look like me.
That's bad. That's bad. That's bad. How? So what's going on this morning, Diva?
Oh, my gosh. I wonder if the docs know how to treat chronic pain without – I'm allergic to opiates, so I can't take most of the pain medication they would give for real bad pain. So I'm in a bad way right now.
Well, our clinic, we really don't deal with pain, but what we are finding with weight loss and hormone supplementation, people's joints are feeling better.
Inflammation.
Yeah, I mean, think about it.
Your body's not designed to carry around 300 pounds. And so by losing weight, your joints feel better. You're having less osteoarthritis. We're going to lead to less hip and knee replacements. So being a healthier individual and keep carrying your normal body weight, you're going to get rid of some of your ailments.
And that's so good. I mean, people need we need to train our children. We really need to reshape our thinking.
Oh, definitely. Like, you know, going back to
the
Toys R Us. Toys R Us has candy as toys. You know, we got to get that out of our society. And my brother-in-law is a pediatrician, and he see you know number one cause of that he's seeing that's causing problems is obesity. Childhood obesity is going through the roof.
And young kids are becoming diabetic at such a young age.
Sure.
Type 2 diabetes.
Sure.
It shouldn't be that way.
Right now, my daughter goes to preschool, and every day. It's some child's birthday, and they're bringing in cupcakes and cookies. And so we're starting that at 6 years old. What are we doing to their lives if they think that cupcakes and cookies you can eat every day? We can't do that.
You know, it's really funny. When we were kids, McDonald's was a treat, so maybe you would get it every couple of weeks.
I agree with you.
A soda, if you got it, you know, you get a bottle of soda, and everybody drank out the same bottle.
Yeah.
And not everybody had their own can.
Yeah.
And it was a treat. Now it's, you know, people are addicted to sodas.
If you can just cut out sugary drinks, you're going to lose a lot of weight. You know, if you said, hey, I'm just going to do water. You think about it. A pop is a 200 calories, and that's a normal 12-ounce can. You start going to McDonald's and Burger King and whatnot, they supersize everything.
Yeah.
And you're getting a gallon. Hey, let's add a gallon for a dollar.
But, you know, people have to make choices, and they have to have education, and they have to have knowledge for
mm-hmm.
choices.
Mm-hmm.
And we have taught society to not make their own choice.
Sure, sure.
This
I mean, look
think about
the mayor of New York. He wanted to put restrictions on soda sizes.
How do you
Why?
Do that?
Because he thinks the public can't make their own decisions, so somebody else is going to make the decisions for them. And that's where at InShape MD, we're going to retrain your brain on what portion sizes are and how to stay healthy. And we're going to keep you healthy. We are going to prevent disease with you.
And the greatest part, too, is when you come in and you start, you know, for me, I watch for the first week and the ladies and gentlemen come in and they've lost 8 pounds in a week. And that just motivates them to get
absolutely.
More and more.
For those fabulous. People who have never been on, if you're looking to lose weight and you're talking about HCG, I can attest to this. There is no motivation like watching the scale actually start diminishing.
Mm-hmm. Even with testosterone, our males that are on the testosterone also lose weight right away too. So it's, everyone who's coming in is just losing weight, and it's wonderful.
You know, I told you earlier that I did the program in January, and it became an addiction. Every morning getting on the scale, saying, hey, there's another pound and a half. It was so much fun. I remember calling and texting all of my friends saying, hey, this is where I'm down. I was taking pictures of the numbers on the scale saying, hey, this is where I'm at.
Look at that.
But, you know, buddies got all into it. And we have a bunch of my friends got on the program as well. And they've all been successful. And that's the great thing about InShape MD. We have 100% success rate. We do not have one failure. Everybody's lost at least 16 pounds. We have up to 40 pounds in the 30 days. And so once we get the weight off of you, and then we say, hey, where are you at hormonally? And we are going to change your life. We're going to continue the next phase and get you in the hormone replacement. So we are going to make you a healthier person.
In Shape MD. Now, how long have you guys been there? When did you guys open?
January 2nd.
Okay.
Now, this is one thing I did notice. I lost 20 pounds, 25 pounds without trying.
Sure.
And then when I stopped, I gained...
You gained it all
most
back.
Most of it back.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately, you know, did you retrain your brain on what portion sizes? Did you continue with the exercise? Or did you say, hey, I'm doing a little fad here, and then I'm going to go back to doing what I do? At InShape MD, we're not a fad.
So
we're
you
here.
Have to retrain your brain. And you guys work on retraining the brain as you're working on the weight loss.
Definitely.
And it's a year-long program. I mean, we have the HCG, which is a 30-day injectable, but then we have maintenance programs after that, you know, where we tell you, you know, we give you the recipes and what to eat and how to exercise, and, you know, we're constantly there for you.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times, if you don't retrain your thinking, and if you don't retrain your habits, it's not, no matter what you do and no matter what you take and no matter what you don't do, it will not last.
Yeah. And like, I'm just going my own personal success story. I was what we call a grazer. When I came home from work, I was going to the cupboard and just taking a little handful of this. My wife was making dinner and I'm taking a handful of that. And what I've done is I've cut that out of my life.
How hard it is to cut that out?
Those are just empty.
Because I don't eat all day long, but when I get there at night, it's like, ooh.
But what I do now, you know, I eat a normal dinner, and I sit down and I enjoy dinner. You know, I still have steak and chicken and things like that, but I'm eating normal portion sizes, and I maintain my weight. I was fluctuating between 200 and 225, and now I fluctuate between 195 and 200, and it's simple diet modification. You know, hey, on Friday night, do I go have a couple beers and do I eat the pizza? Yes, I do. But Monday through Friday, I've redone my breakfast. I've redone my lunches, and I'm eating a healthy dinner.
Now, have you cut sugar completely out of your diet?
I have not. But on our InShape diet, to retrain your brain, we do.
Okay.
And, hey, life is about having fun. We all have our guilty pleasures.
That's why I'm mad, because a lot of people, I mean, I know that I have to be careful of what types of, like, Oreo cookies.
Sure.
Trans fats. I know trans fats are really bad for me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for me, it was Reese's Cups,
which
was so hard for me. I mean, everybody who knows me will laugh about that because I love Reese's Cups. But you get used to it after a little bit of time. The HCG works in there. You're not even thinking of the food. There's a couple of days in there that get hard. It happens. But, you know, we're here to help you get through it and tell you some other things you can do.
Yeah,
I don't know if everybody knows there's like a PB2 out there. It's a powdered form of peanut butter, and I've found this because I love peanut butter and chocolate, but it's a PB2 in its powdered form. It's 35 calories for 2 tablespoons. I have it at the office. I turn everybody on to
withdrawal, right?
Yeah.
Just in case.
We just try to think of different things to help people.
Yeah, the sugars are a slippery slope.
Absolutely.
Because sugar isn't addicting.
It
activates the pleasure center in your brain, and you say, boy, is that good, and I want it. You get a little sugar high.
And you try to go back
to
Reese's again.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And so that's why on our diet, we don't have that. You don't, for 30 days, none of that stuff.
Because even with sodas, if I have any soda, it really kicks back into my sugar addiction.
Sure, sure. And it gives you that rush. But what happens, you know, personal experience, the first 7 days for me were difficult, and after seven days, a light went off, and I just didn't want it. And actually, after day 30, to taste a soda, it was actually kind of gross because it was so sweet, so syrupy. And I'm now just back to water. I just drink water for lunch, water for breakfast, and I'm happy.
Those physicians are so disciplined. Jeez.
Well, I pretty much drink water and lemon, and some coffee. Mm-hmm. But water and lemon, I started doing about 3 or 4 months ago, and I don't order Cokes, you know, and things like that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I'm in a glitch, like this morning, I'll do a little bit of a pop because I know that maybe my medication is overworking, you know, on the sugar thing. And you feel a certain way, you know, you start getting the shakes and all this other stuff. But But how did, what's the trick if you don't do the HCG? Or do you must you do the HCG to get the other?
No. We have the HCG diet is our most aggressive diet. Mm-hmm. It's for the person who says, hey, I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to be committed. I'm going to do whatever it takes. And in 30 days, I know I'm going to have a new body. So we have less aggressive, which are going to take a little bit more time. The calories are a little bit more. In fact, my partner, Dr. Adil Jaffer, I think he's listening out there. What's up, Adil?
You're in so much trouble.
Well, get your own friend.
We can't.
He was my friend.
Well, actually, my friend gave me some money to put him on the radio, put his name out on the radio, and so we all make fun of him afterwards. But no, I had him on the Adipex, and he looks fantastic. He's dropped 50 pounds, and 50 pounds on a person. He lost both my children 50 pounds. but he looks great. I mean, you can see his cheekbones. I mean, he has more energy. I actually play basketball with him on Sundays, and he feels better. He moves better. 50 pounds, I mean, think about it, carrying around a potato sack every day.
That's a lot. And people do not realize, even as I go through a weight loss progression, how much weight weighs.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Have you ever seen the picture of what 5 pounds of fat looks like?
Yeah, that's really
bad. Think about the volume of 5 pounds of fat. Now multiply that by 10 and put it around your body. Where the hell are you storing 10 pounds of fat around, or 10 bags of fat around your body?
Absolutely.
You know.
And I was reading something the other day, and it was talking about how as you gain weight and what you eat, how it pushes the fat pushes out your organs and doesn't give them the space to do what's necessary for your whole body, so it actually contracts their usage. Yeah. I was like, wow.
And what
that's pretty amazing.
About with fat and getting back to hormones, fat makes you metabolize your hormones differently. And we know for a fact that fat messes with your testosterone levels. We, in our body, floating through our body, we have free testosterone, which is the chemical just floating around, and it's also bound to proteins in our body. And fat messes with that interaction. And you don't have available testosterone when you're obese. And so by getting rid of the obesity, your testosterone levels are going to improve, which mine did. But if they don't with weight loss, then that's where InShape MD, we step in and say, hey, we can supplement your testosterone. We can supplement your estrogen. We can supplement your progesterone. And women, you know, obesity and estrogen and progesterone deficiency, we know that those are directly linked together. So by weight loss, we are going to change your lifestyle, change your hormone profiles, and make you feel better.
InShape MD. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with me this morning. I appreciate it. We've been here for about an hour, and I'm going to go to the next segment. You guys are going to go to work.
Well,
and I'm going to come out and see you guys see the office.
Awesome.
And I can't wait to see
give
you.
Us the information again, please.
Okay. Our phone number is 330-726-8900. Our address, 1111 Boardman Canfield Road, Boardman, Ohio. InShapeMD.com. Give us a call. Stop in. We're available 10 to 5 most every day. We look forward to seeing you.
And Dr. Moser and Stacy, thank you so much for coming in and hanging out with us. If we can do anything for you, please let us know. And we appreciate it. I'm going to stop out and see the office and see what you guys can do for me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. We appreciate it.
God bless. We'll be right back.
This is Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from 9 a.m. to noon on News Talk 600. Visit our website for more info about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and Friends. News Talk 600, WSOM.
Do you find yourself constantly tired? Do you have pain, migraine headaches, or digestive upsets? Or you just feel like your immune system is weak? Call Dr. Matt Mason at Mason Wellness, 330-219-6250, or visit our website at masonwellness.com. Do you find yourself constantly tired? Do you have pain, migraine headaches, or digestive upsets? Or you just feel like your immune system is weak? Call Dr. Matt Mason at Mason Wellness, 330-219-6250, or visit our website at masonwellness.com.
Here's the latest from ABC News.
I'm Richard Davies. More fighting today in Iraq, some of it not far from Baghdad. The Shiite-led government facing a major insurgency from a Sunni group linked to al-Qaeda. Iraqi police officials say at least 44 detainees died today as Sunni militants attacked a police station northeast of the capital. ABC's Ann Compton says a small number of U.S. troops is going in.
170 new troops to guard the U.S. embassy and property in Baghdad. Another 100, possibly special ops forces, may be deployed near Iraq at the ready to help with air support and getting Americans to safety.
U.S. officials are also reaching out to Iran. ABC's Jonathan Carl explains why.
The way the White House looks at this is that Iran is the one force in the region that has influence with the government of Prime Minister Maliki. So what the U.S. is asking Iran to do and hoping Iran will do is to pressure Maliki to do some political reconciliation that's at the heart of this whole problem.
The U.N. Secretary General says he is deeply distressed by reports of war crimes and terrorist attacks. Small town in Nebraska, devastated by rare twin tornadoes. In Pilger, most buildings were damaged or destroyed by those incredible winds. At least one person was killed, a five-year-old child, 19 injured. Pilger is a community of about 500 people. Tony Gwynn was a baseball great. He died yesterday of oral cancer at the age of 54. Doctors point out to the fact that he chewed tobacco, as many players do. Brian Berkey of the Cleveland Clinic says all forms of tobacco have high cancer risk.
The main thing is awareness. People need to be aware that head and neck cancer exists, that smoking, the use of tobacco, is a huge risk factor.
This is ABC News.
Prices are for base buildings only and may not be available in some areas. This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. So call General Steel now for the quality and the price in a pre-engineered steel building that you just can't beat. That's right. General Steel can save you thousands of dollars with a pre-engineered steel building designed for your business or church. How much can you save? How about a 50 by 100-foot building for under $35,000? So don't pay thousands more than you should without calling General Steel first. Call 866-95-STEEL today and save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. Don't let rising steel prices put your project in jeopardy. Call now to lock in your price for 3 months. Call 866-95-STEEL. That's 866-95-STEEL. Don't spend thousands more than you should. Call 866-957-8335.
Tech companies pushing back against the government. They include Microsoft challenging a New York court case trying to stop the U.S. government from accessing data that is stored in servers outside the United States. The companies object to a ruling by a magistrate court judge who said the government can access email files that Microsoft stores in Dublin, Ireland. It's still not too late to book a discount flight for late summer travel. But when you do, consider more than the cost of the airfare. Travel expert Brian Kelly says carriers have different policies on checking bags and in-flight food.
I think, especially since there are so many fees nowadays, you really need to look at the big picture. It may make more sense to pay $30 more to fly JetBlue when you get a lot more legroom.
Do your homework, he says.
Not all airlines are equal. You know, take a look at these surveys and see. There are certain airlines that get a lot worse ratings than others, and if the price is the same, don't fly them.
This is ABC News.
Here are some things you don't have to do to get the right car insurance at the right price from Safe Auto. You don't have to bundle. You don't have to keep switching. Safe Auto keeps it simple so you can get on with your life. Call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO.
Prices are for base buildings only and may not be available in some areas. This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. So call General Steel now for the quality and the price in a pre-engineered steel building that you just can't beat. That's right. General Steel can save you thousands of dollars with a pre-engineered steel building designed for your business or church. How much can you save? How about a 50 by 100-foot building for under $35,000? So don't pay thousands more than you should without calling General Steel first. Call 866-95-STEEL today and save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction.
Don't let rising steel prices put your project in jeopardy. Call now to lock in your price for 3 months. Call 866-95-STEEL. That's 866-95-STEEL. Don't spend thousands more than you should. Call 866-957-8335.
Michael Savage.
I am opposed to revolution because nobody wins. However, you have to fight a tyrannical government virtually at the same level that they're imposing their tyranny on you. We don't want Syria. We don't want 70,000 or 700,000 dead. We don't want a civil war in America. We don't want to see one-fourth of the male population wiped out in a civil war. Ever.
Weekdays from 3 to 6 on News Talk 600. Michael Savage.
Christie, he's the king of bacon. No kidding. The minute he embraced Obama, we knew already what we were getting. Christie showed himself to be a fat McCain without any military background. I mean, if you want to reduce it to its simplest term. Christie is a fat McCain without any military background.
Weekdays from 3 to 6 on News Talk 600. Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Of Bo Bergdahl. There is real confusion, and we're hoping you can clear up this one point that arose last night and today. What was the reason for not informing the eight members of Congress who would customarily be informed by this?
Brian, I have to tell you the same thing that I've been saying for the last several days, which is we have a rule, a principle, that when somebody wears our country's uniform and they're in a war theater and they're captured, we're going to do everything we can to bring them home. And we saw an opportunity and we took it. And I make no apologies for it. It was a unanimous decision among my principals in my government.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And it is open mic for the rest of the day. The people from Gender Identity, we had to reschedule, so they'll be on another day. So Jeff and I are here in studio, want to hear from you. And the President of the United States of America, I've had some conversations with some of my liberal family and friends the last couple of days, and they're beginning to question some of the decisions of the President of the United States, whom they support. They still, you know, they're beginning to ask, well, why did he do this? Why did he do that? And I'm not gloating just yet to say I told you so, but what I'm saying is, if you don't know, he said it was a unanimous decision of his own view. This is where I have a problem. You cannot make a unanimous decision of your own identity in when you're working for. I mean, I'm pretty liberal around here, and so Jeff and them have some. They made some executive decisions without me, and they do some stuff that I don't agree with. But you know. There's not a unanimous decision of Jeff, me, myself, and I. You can't do that. He can't, you know, just because he wants to be a Brown fan, he can't come in here and paint my room brown. And I have a problem with that. The same way I would have a problem, or Cumulus and WSOM would have a problem with me if I decided to come in here and decided I'm going to play music for 3 hours straight.
You know what? We're going to have a Browns corner in this room.
Yes, we are, as soon as 2016 gets here.
No. Before the August comes around when we start playing preseason games.
2016.
Yeah.
2016.
When are they going to make that decision?
We don't know yet, but 2016. Mm-hmm.
Have a brown corner. I will never step my foot back
Diva,
in the field.
Yeah,
Diva, listen here. Let me explain something to you.
That's half the reason why we're doing
point.
It, Diva.
No, Diva. Listen, there's going to be a Steeler corner, too, because I thought you guys found out that I'm now a Browns fan and a Steeler fan.
No, she ain't.
You can't be both. That's an oxymoron.
That sure is. Thank you, Diva.
What do you mean I can't be both?
With that statement, I'm going to quit hating on you today.
What do you mean I can't be both?
We'll see how long that'll last.
Wait a minute. What do you mean I can't be both?
You can't. That's like me trying to be both male and female.
It's 2014. You can do that, too. They call it
that bi. Okay, here it is. It makes no sense that you like women. A female likes women, but yet she goes for the butch type. You know what I'm saying? It just makes
Steva,
no sense.
Steva,
oxymoron.
Steva, it's 2014. You can do what you want to do.
It
do
yeah,
what you want to.
It's still nonsense.
That's
still nonsense,
aberration.
Though.
No, you're missing it.
See, here's the difference people don't understand. It ain't like male and female, because male and females have a little bit of each other in them, okay?
But, we can get them talking about that.
Yes, exactly. So, but here's the point. A cat is never a dog, and a dog is never a cat. Why?
Mm-hmm.
It ain't.
But they can play together if they choose.
They can play together. They can't be the same.
Listen here.
No.
You're missing the point.
They can't be the same.
I can be a Browns fan and a Steelers
no.
fan at the same
no.
time.
Oh, you
I'm
cannot.
Not giving up the Steelers.
Mm-mm.
Yes, I can.
No, that, we saw that jersey and it looks ugly. It's not going to work. They had Browns on one side
and a Browns jersey on the back.
No, it was side by side.
Together.
It was ugly.
I am in this for the win.
You
and
are
I'm going
so
to be a Browns
cute.
Fan and a Steelers fan because that's how I roll. Good morning, 440. I can do that.
How you
can't
doing?
I'm
you
good.
Know,
how are
I
you?
I'm good. I just want to clear up your statement, what you really mean. You are a fan of the Pittsburgh Steelers coach and you're a fan of the Cleveland Browns team. That's what you
no.
mean, right?
No,
yes.
No. No, this is what I mean. No, listen, this is what I'm saying. I need to clear this up. I am a fan of the Pittsburgh Steelers coach and team, and I am a admirer and promoter of the Cleveland Browns.
No, that can't be good.
No.
I got to make a statement to you, Tracy.
Yes, sir.
If you listen to that last clip of Obama. What did
yes.
he say?
He said
government.
It was his country. He said it was his country.
No, he said it was my government. Listen to it
That's
again.
What he
said.
Said
my government. It's our government. You work for
no.
us. He thinks he's king.
I'm pretty sure
yeah,
he meant
to
say my administration.
No.
No, he meant my government.
No, play the whole clip, but did he not correct him?
And he has said this time.
Hold on.
What was the reason for not informing the 8 members of Congress who would customarily be informed by this?
Brian, I have to tell you the same thing that I've been saying for the last several days, which is we have a rule, a principle.
Who's we?
That when somebody wears our country's uniform and they're in a war theater and they're captured, we're going to do everything we can to bring them home. And we saw an opportunity and we took it. And I make no apologies for it. It was a unanimous decision among my principals in my government.
My government.
No, play the entire clip. Because I believe
it's
he corrected himself.
Government.
I believe
it
he corrected himself after that.
No, he didn't.
He corrected himself for saying our.
If I'm not mistaken, he corrected himself and said our government or my administration.
Let me say this to you. He cannot make a unanimous decision amongst me, myself, and I.
He didn't say a unanimous decision of myself. He said we made a unanimous decision.
Okay,
that means the people
who's the
around
we?
Him.
No,
the
no,
people
no.
around
no,
him. The people in his administration.
You have to include Congress Diva, do you not get it?
He's not talking about Congress. He bypassed Congress.
Okay,
he's
let
about
it go. Let it
his
go.
Administration.
This is major, not a minor. We know this guy is stuck on
I want a major on the minor, because the minor that he's majored on is a big major, because he fails to realize that he is an institution of not me, myself, and I, and my administration and my family, but it is an entity of the government, for the government, and by the government, based upon three branches of government, and not his unanimous decision of his me, myself, and I. De La Soul.
And unfortunately, these people aren't going to grab this. And,
who's not going to grab it?
The people that are the supporters, they are solid.
No.
They're not going nowhere. They think like they think. And I don't know how they ever got to think like they think.
I can tell you how they got there.
I ran out a little thing yesterday. I think it was very good, because I was really just angry because of stupidity. But
Jeff, you are the same guy, no matter the facts about 9/11 or the Iraq War, you still defend George Bush. You still defend
what happened.
Let me finish. You still defend the fact that you, in your mind, surmised this bigger scheme of why we went to Iraq. But when George W. Bush gave his State of the Union address, he laid out principles of invading Iraq based on WMD, none of which you said, none of that. But yet you still defend him on that lie.
Diva, it wasn't a lie, number one.
Okay.
They proved that. They proved
that.
They've
proven that it wasn't a lie.
No,
Diva, there was some misinformation don't get me, there's some bad information that came out during that time. But it was, again, a knee-jerk reaction made upon an emotional decision that they should have slowed down the process.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, Congress should have. They should definitely. Definitely.
Here's the problem.
Definitely.
Here's your problem. It had nothing to do with any of that. They were going into Iraq no matter what.
I didn't say not to.
Okay.
He lied to us.
Slowed down the process.
They shouldn't have slowed down the process, because we were already a couple years behind. Don't forget that the Clinton administration signed into law regime change in Iraq. They funded it. Put CIA operatives on the ground, and they were in the country creating the situation so that you could get in there, and they were messing around, dragging their feet, and going to get those guys killed.
Again,
I still
say that they should have slowed it down, for the simple reason that they made the decision based upon, not on the information that you said. They made their decision based upon what happened on 9/11.
Elite? No, they did not.
Congress did.
That is not true.
Listen, the reason why they got rid of that woman, which was Sheila Jackson, no, not Sheila Jackson Lee, but McKinney, down in Georgia, is because they said she was patriotic, and she said they were moving too fast. And they were, because they were making decisions based upon and something that happened, not based upon the facts that you're talking about.
Saddam Hussein was paying people in the who got a jet ticket?
Mary.
Okay. Saddam Hussein was paying Palestinians to blow themselves up. If they did, he gave their family $30,000.
Jeff, again, that was not why Congress made the decision. They did not make the decision based on that. I'm saying Congress should not have made the decision based upon an emotional act, but they should have made the decision based upon the facts, and they did not.
Once again, you are not making – you're being emotional and not thinking about what was said. I am not finished. There's two other things that were going on, and you're not paying attention to it. And the thing is that's what happens, especially even the Republicans, because they want to get emotional about stuff and not follow what was going on at the time.
And again, Jeff,
historical fact.
But Jeff, what I'm saying is the decision that was made by Congress when they gave the president the order that he could go was not based upon the fact. It was based upon a decision on an event, which was 9/11.
Okay.
They did not go back. They
that's
did not.
That's not true.
That they
Sorry.
Didn't. They did not go back, because they did not go back to what was going on in the Clinton administration.
Yes, they did.
They went on to weapons of mass destruction.
Weapons of mass destruction were there.
But
we gave them to them.
We understand that. But the decision was made based on 9/11.
No, it wasn't.
For Congress, when they voted for it, it was not based upon facts, because they had no hearings prior to that. They came into session and voted for it.
According to the timeline, around that time, we had weapons inspectors in Iraq, on the ground in Iraq, looking for and testing for WMD. They knew that he had them. That's why they knew that he had them previously. That's why we had the weapons inspectors back in there. They didn't find anything, but they said, give us more time. Bush would not give them more time. He removed them from Iraq and invaded with the so-called shock and awe. I'm sorry, Jeff, you can sit here and say what you want, but when President Bush stood up there and said in his State of the Union address that we know that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction and intends to use them and we must stop him now, that was the rally cry to get everybody behind him. What you are saying is not what we know. Therefore,
that's just it. He didn't – everybody wants to say that Bush lied. It was not a lie. The problem is they were basing their decision based upon an emotional act and not on the facts. Now, President Bush did get the information. Yes, the President Bush did. He didn't sit up there. He didn't get up there and just say, all of a sudden, I'm going to go to war based on a lie. That's not the information from the CIA may have not been as current as they needed, but they definitely had him, and it was a lie based upon the information that Bush had.
You should have been listening to the web inspectors.
I've got to go to Larry. Go ahead.
They didn't find nothing. They have not found anything they need for a time.
I agree with you, Tracy. It was an emotional reaction, but I get tired of this Bush lie when they were basing it off the information that our National Security Agency and the CIA were giving them. And it was there. And we've seen the weapons. They were just moved from Iraq, and it's the same weapons that are being used in Syria. So, I mean, Bush didn't lie. I mean, but let me go back, Tracy, because the reason I called in and you hit on the point where he said, my government. You got to remember, Diva, that these guys, presidents, whether it's Obama or Putin or Ahmadinejad, they don't get up there and say stuff because what presidents and those world leaders say end up becoming their policy. So when he says, my government, now if you could just point to that one thing, I would say, okay, he had a slip of the tongue. But Diva, last month, the guy was in front of a bunch of Democrats at a fundraiser and lamenting the fact that states, the small states like a Montana or Idaho or West Virginia, have the same voting power as the big states like Texas and California and New York. When that's a part of our history. That's part of the, it's called the Great Compromise. So a big state couldn't ram stuff down a smaller state's throat. That's a part of our government. If he didn't want that, then he shouldn't have ran for president because that's how it is. And that's the big reason that separates a guy like Obama versus a Bill Clinton because you guys don't want to. And I got into this last night with Jeff's buddy, the Democratic chairman of Mahoning County. They don't want to admit that Bill Clinton had a GOP Senate and a GOP House, and he got stuff done because he was a leader. Obama's not a leader. He's not an effective leader. He's not a good leader. It's not him. He wants to lead because he says so. But it's not his government, just like Tracy said. That's our government. And he has to work within Congress and the Senate and the House. And he can't just tell everybody you got to take it and elections have consequences. They sure do. And that's because of his overreach those first 2 years. That's why you had a Speaker of the House, John Boehner. You can't do it.
And this president, in his mind, he looks at it as his own government. He looks as though he can do whatever he chooses, when he wants to, how he wants to, and get away with it. And it's not his to actually govern that way. That's not how it works. 440, your mic is on.
Yeah, that guy was, I don't know who's just speaking, but he was spot on.
Larry.
Those weapons were moved into Syria.
Absolutely.
Anybody that knows what's going on, Jeff will tell you that. Everybody knows that, or you're not paying attention. And him leaving no guy behind, let's talk about Benghazi, and let's talk about the reason they let them die. And I think he was hit because he was running guns into Syria for Obama's administration, and he was due to testify before a Senate subcommittee. And all of a sudden, we're not gonna save this guy? Okay, what does that tell you?
It's called selective saving.
Yeah. It's called selective. I'm going to hit you because you're not going to talk to the Senate subcommittee. That's what that's all about.
You know, 404, I cannot understand how even the Democrats aren't up in arms about this lost communications from Lerner's office. I can't understand that these people can lie because they know it goes straight back to the White House.
Well, this is what I heard over the weekend. Mm-hmm. I heard that what happened was because of Acorn, they wanted to make sure that the reason why they were scrutinizing the 527s and the nonprofits that were being going into motions because they didn't want to have the same thing that happened with Acorn, and they were protecting the electorate from having people being fraudulent as Acorn was during the 2008 election. That's what I heard.
Yeah, I heard that. I can about admit that because when liberal, I have to go with the other big time talk show host who says that liberalism is a disease. It's a mental disease.
I heard that.
That is crazy.
That's the point of being crazy. That's what I heard. Hey, Stanley. Good morning.
Oh boy, here we go with the lies again, Jeff. Here we go with this. I have a great document to go against all the people that said that, oh, George Bush, he had a weapon of mass destruction. Before the war happened and everything, do you know that the MI6 and the CIA were told to secret channel by Saddam Hussein's foreign minister that Iraq had no active weapon of mass destruction? Did you know that?
No, it's not true.
Wait a minute, hold on. Where did you get that from?
You could do
on the internet. It wasn't.
No. Not on the internet. Tony Blair has the answer to that.
And Tony Blair.
Wait. Tony Blair had to answer to that, and he had to answer to what was that? And the ex-general of basically Saddam Hussein said there was no weapon of mass destruction.
He wrote a book saying that. This is idiotic. What you're saying
that.
Is Stanley. He wrote a book. The former head of the weapons chief wrote a book explaining what happened and how they got the weapons.
No, he said they didn't have weapons during that time. He didn't. And that's the thing that you're not getting, Jeff. We are telling you, I'm telling you that, Diva's telling you that he lied, that basically, like everybody's telling you, he said we went to war for one reason. Weapon of mass destruction. He didn't say all the stuff that you're saying, that Clinton's going to go to war and didn't know. You can say you could say, Jeff, you could say anything that you
don't
want.
Don't break,
you can say,
Stanley.
Stanley,
don't break.
Yeah.
Take a breath. But,
why do you lie, people, man?
I just don't get it because
I don't understand you people lying.
Here's my thing.
I don't understand.
The one that stand up and say, oh, yeah, Obama lied, but yet you can't even admit to the simple fact that Bush and his administration lied to us about the Iraq War. So if you can't even admit that, I'm not going to sit up here and be like, oh, yeah, you're completely right. Obama's a liar. No.
Diva.
All right. Yes. What?
How is when somebody tells you, your intelligence agency tells you that they have it, right? And then
No, wait. The intelligence
information
agency didn't say that.
But you don't realize, Larry,
is that
the weapons inspectors said they didn't. The people who were actually on the ground said they didn't find anything. They needed more time.
And second of all, the CIA that you're coming and you're always saying that they told us, when they did the meeting before and people were asking the CIA, you have to find a relationship with 9/11 and Saddam Hussein, the CIA was saying, there's no relationship with that. That's the thing
they
that you don't even call.
To Syria.
It doesn't matter that they moved them into Syria.
It doesn't justify another country.
The weapons inspectors, before we invaded Iraq, said they didn't find anything. So since they didn't find anything, there was no point in us invading Iraq. So for a simple fact, there was nothing there.
Diva.
It could have slipped down.
Let me ask you a question, Diva and Stanley. So did John Kerry, Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, every major Democrat, Joe Biden,
yes.
that voted
yes, they were
for
all
the
wrong.
Yes. To go to, They all lie.
Yes. And they all
yes.
have to
they
pay
were
wrong. Hillary Clinton, that's why she didn't win the presidency. That's why John Kerry didn't have the support behind him in 2004. They were wrong.
They were wrong, period.
And
they were wrong because
of
what? They were wrong for one reason, because George Bush, our famous president, lied to them and basically said, we're doing mass destruction. And as an American, you should be ashamed of yourself when you're saying that, when
you
tell me that you lie and you're covering it up.
They knew that that information was fine. They still would have done it anyway because they wanted to. They were scared.
You should be ashamed of yourself. You should be ashamed of yourself. Because as a liberal, when we bring you facts, you can't even take it. But when you come always with the gazzy stupidness, but when we say George Bush was the biggest hypocrite, you can't even take it.
Listen, I'm asking a simple English question. Is there a difference between lying and being wrong?
No, he lied. He lied, period. He lied. No, he lied, period.
Yes, there's a difference. There is a difference between lying.
I asked a simple question.
Hello?
Is a lie and being wrong two the same thing, or are they different?
No, they're different things. Lying
okay.
and being
different
wrong are different.
You're saying all those things. Remember when Colin Powell went to the in front of everybody and basically France, Germany, and everyone saying, bring us the positive thing that this happened, and Colin Powell couldn't answer that question? Doesn't that tell you something? France and everybody around the world was looking at Colin Powell and saying, bring us the fact that that says that Saddam Hussein has weapon of mass destruction, and we will go gladly with war with you. And they couldn't even do that. What does that tell you about your pregnancy? What does it tell you about George Bush? Please tell me what it tells you. Please answer that question.
You know what? Steven already answered it. They were wrong.
No, I want you to answer that question. Diva, let them answer that question.
In my mouth. I didn't say they were wrong. I said they lied.
Oh, Diva, you're lying. I asked you a simple question.
Was there a difference between lying and being wrong? I said no, and I said they weren't wrong. They lied. Don't tell me I'm lying.
I know
I asked you
if Hillary Clinton, Harry Reid, John Kerry,
945-5229 or toll-free at 1-800-530-WSON. Online at TracyandFriends.com.
No, I didn't. I said they all lie.
WSON.com.
Lie. L-I-A-R. Liars. All of them were liars. Bad don't you get. Lord have mercy. What's wrong with you Republicans?
You take that as your answer.
They're liars. They all lie.
Oh my God.
You so
oh
much said that. When we bring
Clinton
you back, it's a stupid name and all the color in the world.
On the subject of Bo Bergdahl, there is real confusion, and we're hoping you can clear up this one point that arose last night and today. What was the reason for not informing the eight members of Congress who would customarily be informed by this? Brian, I have to tell you, the same thing that I've been saying for the last several days. Where's our country's uniform? We're going to do everything we can.
I did not say they were wrong. I said they lied, and I said it cost them.
It was a unanimous decision among my
whatever. Don't put words in my mouth, Larry, because I will put
back.
You in silent mode.
Hey, we're back. You're listening to WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. You just caught what, Jeff?
Me, myself, and I.
There you go. I'm trying to tell you. There was a uniform decision.
You
it was unanimous.
I got to see this. I got to get done with whatever I'm doing to see Hillary Clinton come on Fox News tonight. That's going to be fun.
Are you guys, Jeff, why would you do, listen.
She's definitely running for president.
Let me clarify something here.
Listen, she didn't sell too many
books. No. Here we go with Jeff clarifying something. Here we go.
The Iraq Liberation Act of 1998.
Oh, but Jeff, we don't care. We don't care about that, Jeff. We don't care.
Stanley. It ain't your show to care. So you can't talk over Jeff, and Jeff can't talk over you, so hold up. Yes, Jeff?
It was signed into law by President Bill Clinton and states that it is the policy of the United States to support democratic movements with Iraq. The act was called and the act was cited in October 2002 to argue for the authorization of military force against the Iraqi government. After it was passed with a unanimous consent. President Clinton signed it after the Senate passed with unanimous consent. The reason why we went into Iraq was regime change. Did they bolster it up with the WMD? Yes, they did. But the reason you went in is because you had an act from 1998. Who's got a radio?
Yeah. The reason that we went into Iraq may have had something to do with that, and they. But
no,
what
it wasn't something to do with.
Can you let me finish? I'm gonna let you. Didn't I let you read it? What I said was the decision that was made. Mm-hmm. No matter what you can read there, decisions by Manny Moe and Jack gave President Bush the opportunity to go there in 2012. I think I'm sorry, 2003.
Yeah.
Had to do with 9/11 in 2001.
Yep.
It had nothing to do with that right there. They didn't even pay attention to that right there because they probably didn't even read it. The same way they could pass a law and say we don't know what's in it until we pass it. Trust me, Manny, Moe, and Jack, the same ones who were in Congress then, a lot of them are in Congress now. They don't do their job, and so whatever they happened under Bill Clinton, they were not thinking that far back. They made the decision based on something that was in their recent memory and not something that was based upon past facts.
They made the decision based on everything, Tracy.
No, they didn't, Jeff, when are you going to stop?
Because you're talking.
Okay.
The news media majored on this WMD because Colin Powell Colin Powell did present evidence of that to the.
But we're talking about the vote. I'm talking about the vote. You're talking about when he went to the UN. I'm talking about the vote of Congress. The vote of Congress was based on emotion. They were inept when they made the decision because they should have done their due diligence. That's why we had so many hearings afterwards because they didn't do they didn't do it before.
You didn't have hearings till a year or two afterwards. Tracy.
That's what I said.
Yeah,
They should have had the hearings before they gave President Obama, that President Bush, the authorization to go. And
they did it already. It was done. Everybody knew what was everything.
No,
every single intelligence agency in the world.
We're talking about Congress.
I quit. I leave it alone. You won't hear me talk about it the rest of the day. Guarantee.
Can I get in there, Tracy?
Go ahead. Go ahead, Camila, man.
Yeah, I think the CIA just found a replacement for waterboarding. It's called Diva, Stanley, and Larry during a break. That is a torture. You do not want to bear that ever. You guys are lucky you go on a break. But anyway, my point
Amen.
Was to say that.
Amen, Camila, man. I agree with you for once. I agree with you, man. That was crazy.
What happened during the break?
Oh, my God.
They won't let anybody talk. It was his own. They won't let anybody else talk.
You ever went to the dentist? And it didn't give you enough Novocaine. That's what it felt like. But anyway,
did you convene a man?
I couldn't get one word in.
I just want to make one point here. I think that I'm enjoying my popcorn from last week. But I think, if I recall, I got a list here of the reasons why you guys are wanting to impeach President Obama. It was the two Black Panthers. It was in front of polling place. There was the Fast and Furious. There was the birth certificate. There was a beer summit with Bill Gates. There was healthcare, IRS, Benghazi, for wanting to bomb Syria, for not bombing Syria, and then releasing POWs, and now you want to impeach him for not going to war in Iraq. Did I leave anything out? Let me know.
No, you added too much stuff.
I mean, you went too far.
Way too far, because I don't want to impeach him.
You've never heard me say that.
At all.
I've heard. Well, I'm talking about Republicans as a whole. All those.
No. Listen. There are people. Listen. Every. There's always going to be a crowd out there talking about impeachment. You've not heard me say, you know, they should impeach President Obama ever in since you've listened to me say anything, because it's never come out of my mouth.
I have.
But you cannot take what Jeff says as what I say, because it's not.
Right.
You've never heard me say that, have you?
Well, not just you. I'm talking about the GOP in general.
So let's get this straight. No. The GOP, the infrastructure of the GOP. We're really not going after impeachment of President Obama. What we want is for him to stand up and be a leader. If you stand up and be a leader and quit just roughshodding all over the place, going anywhere you want to go and making wacky decisions on your own, then maybe people will respect him a little bit more in the last couple years of his administration. But right now, he's making some decisions that are putting the jeopardy of America and the people of America at very great risk. And I think all of us are fed up. It's not about impeachment. It's all about just doing the job.
Yeah, okay.
But Tracy, based on what that he's doing, all those decisions that basically is saying is jeopardizing Americans and this
then
and that. I'm sorry, I don't agree with that assessment.
Stanley,
I
Stanley,
don't.
If you cannot play within the rules of engagement, if it's too hot in this kitchen, get out.
Okay.
He should have known that when
the
he
problem,
became president.
Tracy, is,
if he thought that he was going to go in there, be president, and everybody was going to pat him on the back, lift up and say, Obama, Obama, he's in the wrong position, in the wrong country, in the wrong land. This is politics. This is a grown man game.
I would agree with you on that. I think he did go in expecting the Obama within Congress, and he got really.
And he didn't get it. And he went in there cocky, and he got what he got, and now he found out that he's in something that he don't know what he's in, and he needs to stand up and be a man.
I wouldn't say
he
went
in
there
in the kitchen.
So
get out.
So, Tracy, you're saying... What he said, and he said in many speeches and many books, and he said, I'm going to go with the Republican and sit down with them and try to deal
Stanley,
with them.
Stanley, no, don't tell me
okay.
to wait. I'm tired of you telling me he wants to sit down and talk with him. I'm tired of him using people as a photo op. If you want to sit down and have a serious conversation, then do so. You know, people sit down with me all the time, and they don't want nothing. And
okay.
what I'm saying
is,
your president comes in the room and tells you up front, no matter what you say, if you don't agree with me, we won't be negotiating.
Tracy, I can sit down and negotiate with you.
Diva.
He walked into a
room full of congressmen, told them, Republican congressmen, told them, this is the second time, this is past elections have consequences, John, sit down and shut up. This is the second time when they were talking about the deficit.
But yeah, if I had to deal with a person
Diva,
like that,
no.
I'm gonna shut
Listen,
up too.
You cannot walk into a room, tell them that this is going to be this way. I will not be negotiating any of this, and if you don't like it, you can pack up and leave. He does not come over to Capitol Hill. He does not talk to Congress, nor does he care because he's on his own flight.
it's really not the president's job to babysit Congress and getting legislation passed. I don't understand when that came about. They're supposed to do a job. They're supposed to legislate. They're not supposed to be looking to the president to say, hey, can you do this? Can you do this?
So what
does
the president do?
Diva,
what does the president do?
Hold on.
Diva,
they don't
what's his job?
His job is to sign into law the bills that have been passed by Congress. That's his job.
Okay.
His job
so
is to sit down with them.
He does is sit down with an ink pen and write it out?
That's his job. His job is supposed to execute the law set forth by passed by Congress.
Congress is supposed
to get together and come together and let
it. That's not his job, Diva. Go back and read it some more. That's not the job.
I hate it when Bush did it. I hate it under the Clinton administration
Diva,
when
that's not
it was
job.
Coming out with his
it
own putting down the fighting law.
That's what they do, Diva. That's what they do.
I'm sorry, Tracy, I have a problem with you saying that you think our president of the United States didn't try to do the best to sit down with people and come. I wish that you could see. I'm sure that you would put yourself in one day in his shoes, that you would be surprised that Republicans were shutting him down and everything. I don't believe
Listen.
You know what he – wait, let me finish, because I've heard Tracy done 20 minutes of this. I'm sorry to say, the thing that you're saying that to me that he said those things, I'm sure he got fed up of basically never not anybody listening to what he has to say. Not anybody saying, you know what, we're going to do some stuff on our part.
If he's a mamby-pamby, then he needs to pack up and go home.
Listen, I'm
going
to tell you what
he's in the wrong. He's a mamby-pamby. He needs to lock up and go home because he is now – this is a grown man. You've got to be able to fight. When you go to a basketball game, when you go to a football game, you're going to be fouled. It's going to be a foul. There's going to be a setback. You're going to move the ball. You're going to get penalized. Things are going to happen with inside of the conflict.
Wow.
And right now, so if you look, don't tell me wow. It's just the truth.
It's not the truth, Tracy.
Yeah,
because I've listened to many times that he sit down and say, let me sit down with them.
He does sit down with them, and he walks in the room and says, you'll sit down with me, but you won't get anything done.
Even the Democrats will tell you that. That's why you don't see too many of them saying he tried to deal with the Republicans, but they just resisted him. That's not what's going on.
He's not doing anything with the Democrats.
If you look at all the bills on his desk that he won't sign, Harry Reid are blocking bills left and right, Democrat and Republican sponsored.
14 jobs of bills by Republicans and 12 bills about the veterans by Republicans to help get them some better care and things. And he sat on them. Harry Reid is sitting on a whole lot of other stuff. Even Democrats are complaining. You have to understand, this is a game of power, and Barack Obama is gathering power. He's not negotiating. He's saying, I'm not giving up anything, and if you guys want to get in, we'll allow some of your things in, but you got to agree with everything. He's a far-left ideologue. The Republicans are not going to agree with him.
As a matter of fact, the Democrats are not happy with him either. If you want to know the truth about the story, they're not happy. They're really, really not, because right now Harry Reid is sitting on everything, not pushing anything, and it's under the auspices of President Obama does not want anything to get done.
No, so it's the whole part of the problem because of Obama. Obama is the whole problem. Republican didn't do anything wrong. Republican didn't do wrong. The way you're selling it,
440, your mic is on.
You know, you just touched on a point about the VA. We're giving all kinds of care to all the illegals coming across here, and that's what he wants to do. But he's ignoring our VA veterans, and I mean to tell you, I go down to the VA hospital all the time. It would bring you to tears what those guys look like and what they're going through, and the lack of care because there's not enough people. The whole system is broken. That's just a shame. These guys fought their rear ends off, and they get kicked in the teeth like that. That is ridiculous. And that guy doesn't show them any respect. I'm talking, Diva. Don't talk over me. You can be rude to somebody else. Don't be rude to me.
First off, I didn't mean to be rude to you, but since you want to be rude, now I can be rude.
Please,
sir. You don't
have to be rude, too. You have a doggone... You act like a second grader when you're on here. You talk over everybody.
You're not gonna be on national radio.
Hey, guys. No. Get on the issue.
You don't have to
listen.
Me stay
Diva,
first to me.
Listen. The issue at hand is the president of the United States is gonna have to grow up. He is in, and Boehner can't cry, and Harry Reid can't suck his thumb. It's just that simple. And President Obama not wanting to deal with things because it's too combative, so just going off on his own, thinking it is his own country, his own government, that he can do what he wants to do, should not be allowed by the American people. Right, wrong, or indifferent. Even if he made the right decision, he did it the wrong way.
Yeah, he still thinks it's election night in 2008 when he was in Chicago and everybody was cheering for him and crying. That's where he's at.
And again, inside of any type of game system, anytime you're doing any conflict, any debate, you're going to have to rise to the occasion. You're going to have to push back and you have to press forward. It's just that simple. And that's not what's happening within our own government. And he is a wuss. He's a mamby-pamby, and he's sitting on the background, and he wants things to go his way. And that's just not how this country works.
Tracy, let me add something real quick, if I can. I think that President, at times, he has had to negotiate with Congress. I was saying, like, the last debt ceiling negotiation and all that thing. How it usually works is they wait till the last minute before the crisis is about to explode, and then they make a deal. And when you don't have a situation like that, like the guy had mentioned, the veterans bill, that veterans bill has been sitting in committee, has been filibustered so many times. Finally, after all this stuff came to light, they finally stopped filibustering the bill. John McCain co-signed it, and they went ahead and passed it. The Bernie Ward bill. Bernie Sanders. I don't know, what it's going to do when it goes to the House, but that's how it works. It's like only when something comes to light, then they stop filibustering. That's how you can't get anything done beyond a filibuster in this Congress. That's how it's been record number of filibusters.
Kalina, man, this has been going on for a long time. I mean, this is. I mean, if you look at when President Bush, as a matter of fact, you go back to President Clinton. I mean, you have to realize they went after a man because he had an affair with a woman. This is not new.
What's the excuse?
Remember,
for
they went after
him having an affair.
No. But this is what I'm saying. You got to realize. Remember when they went after Hillary Clinton? Because remember, she tried to pass a health care bill when Bill Clinton first got in, and they had a problem with her being in the West Wing. They want her to go over there and be the first lady. Remember that? You got to understand, this is not new.
But Tracy, are you recognizing the number of filibusters, the number, the pure volume of them?
And what I'm saying, it's all the same. But what's happening with this is, overall, what's happening with this is really, really bad. Because at the end of the day, the American people are losing, and I really want people to understand this, that America, we've always said, if America catches a cold, black people catch pneumonia. But right now, America has pneumonia, and we get ready to die.
You're trying to take it off the subject.
No, it's all on the same subject, because what's happening is this president is making decisions. He's not getting anything done. We're not holding anyone accountable, and we keep on lifting this man higher like he really cares about everybody. And you have to understand, there are people in your family that are self-serving, and let me introduce you to the president of the United States of America. He is a self-serving guy. And until you make your cousin do what he's supposed to do, you know he's never going to do what's in best interest for the whole family. We got him in our family. We know them. And we need to own up to it. Yeah, I love you, my friend. You my cousin. You my blood. You my dog, but you a dog. And I'm going to kill you if you don't start acting right, because you're not holding up your end of the bargain. And right now, he's selling America away, and he's getting ready to sell you down the pipeline. He's going to go out of office, make $1 billion, and you're going to be sitting there holding the bag.
He's building a house in
Hawaii. How is he selling America away?
That just sounds like some rhetoric.
Tracy.
Can I explain that, please?
Stanley wants to know. We got about 4 minutes. Stanley wants to know, how is he selling America away?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, this is how. You're just watching it right now in Iraq. You should have done just like you've done every other place. You had stayed there with a 10,000-man force to keep your assets that you've invested in that country safe. That's what you do. He threw that all away, peed it away down a drain. And guess what? You're going to pay for that because not only are you going to lose those assets, you're going to lose control of the price of oil for your for all of your allies out there. And guess what?
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be able to help you. And then these people that you don't think are ready to attack you and hate you because
mm-hmm.
we're just in their part of the world, they are ready to come here. Iran has already put a submarine off the end of this coast down in the Gulf spying on America, and Russia has one in Cuba. Now, here's the
okay.
other thing that you're that we're going through. Okay, you're sitting up here, and you're letting your because he wants to get amnesty to keep Democrats in power, he's making a very foolish move. He's opening the southern border. He's allowing these kids to pour over into our border, okay? And guess what's pouring over with them? Your sleeper cells, your drug people, everything that you don't want are coming straight across your border so that he can get a few more votes for Democrats in 2016, because he's going to give them amnesty. He's going to do it with the stroke of a pen if he gets a chance. That's number
all
two now he's telling you out. I'm not done. Yeah, I'm not done. Let me go some more. You want to know some more that he's doing to throw this country away? He's destroyed your health care system to now where you think that you can get health care system. You paying deductibles that you and your family cannot afford to pay for anything, and then you gotta go out here and get this stuff done, make you do it, because you're not allowed to not have this coverage. And unless you're poor as hell, you can't get it.
Hold on, Jeff. Go ahead. No, Stanley, hold on.
Come back to
no.
Okay.
No, not yet.
Okay. I'm not done.
Hold on, because I got to take a break. 269, go ahead.
Yeah, whenever I hear you're at least coming out of your mouth, Tracy, about the black community, it's such a fake and a fraud in this sense. You're not concerned with the black community, not the least bit. If you were, then you would tell the truth. What's going on with the black community has absolutely nothing to do with President Obama. None of the infrastructure. He's not the cause of the infrastructure of the black community falling apart. It has nothing to do with Obama. So when you throw that in there about black people about to die, it has nothing to do with anything Obama has done.
You're right. It has to do with him not doing anything and us holding him to allegiance, not having ourselves organized and realizing we're getting ready to go into a post-racial society where everybody's going to be on top and we're going to be on the bottom. I'll take a break.
We're already on the bottom. Yeah.
1-830-WSOM or 347-945-5229.
Okay. Wow. Anyways.
Hello.
I just have a question for Republicans.
Oh, I have a question for what he just said. He went from the Iraq War, which I thought like you that we should have never gone there. So he justified it that we need to just go there because we need to protect oil. We were wrong of going there. Period.
And
that's the problem
always,
I have with Republicans. That's the problem I have with all conservatives.
But they're always talking about poor blacks and why they vote Democrat, not understanding middle class and rich black folks vote Democrat too. But my thing is, they say, you're poor, what has the Democrat Party done for you? You vote Republican, your life will get much better. But I don't see it. But if that's the case, then why do they have poor people voting Republican and their life hasn't gotten any better either?
That's a good point, Diva.
That's a good point.
And when I asked somebody that last week, I was told, what did they tell me? At least they have opportunity to move out of poverty, but yet they haven't moved out of poverty.
No,
so you mean
no,
to tell me
to.
The only thing the Republican Party actually does is provide opportunity, and in which way they provide opportunity, they can't really tell
Listen,
you.
I think for the most part, blacks now are voting Democrat for two fundamental reasons. Now, whether you want to say they're right or wrong, or if it's sophisticated, that's another discussion. But two fundamental reasons. One, they don't trust white people for the most part, all white people, and they see the Democratic Party as less of a devil. Let's just get real. And that's why they used to vote Republican, because they saw the Republicans as less of a devil. Now, to me, that's smart when that's the only option you have. That's the first one. The other one, the things that they do get from the government, like government jobs, or that's why everybody gets involved in politics, is to see what you can get out of the system. Now, there would be a few to start voting Republican, knowing that they're barely getting a little bit out of the system being a Democrat. If they turn and vote Republican, they won't get nothing from the system. So why would they do that?
That's what I don't think Republicans are getting, why they don't see it. They feel like, okay, I've heard people say, like Steve, he'll call and say, well, I support Obama because he's black. But when you really get down and ask them questions like, would you be supportive of Hillary Clinton? Yeah. So why is it that the first thing that come out your mouth is you're supportive of President Obama because he's black? Most people cannot articulate why they're supportive of something. And that's just fact. I'm not calling them stupid. I'm not calling them dumb. I'm just saying that they can't articulate as well or according to someone else's intellectual level.
And listen, you know, considering blacks to be ignorant, you got to remember this. Blacks have been involved in the politics of America for hundreds of years. All of that collective history is there. It's just they understand that there's minimal amounts of power that blacks can get out of European politics anyway. So to turn and start voting Republican, thinking that they're going to get more out of their system, would be stupid as hell. Why would
right.
you do that? We know the history.
So basically, we're not the ones who are on the plantation carrying the water, if you really look at it.
You're absolutely right.
I was just saying. Because if you're telling your people, and they say, I'm not telling you to vote Republican, but essentially they are because they can't understand and they don't want you voting Democrat. So if they're telling their people to vote for Republicans who they have got them to believe that they're providing this opportunity, but the opportunity is false. Because you need things such as educational grants for college. You need things such as preschool. Anything such as food stamps and job social service programs in order to get to the point where you can get to that opportunity. So without those things, most people are stuck. Just like when you see poor conservative districts, they're sitting around stuck in their squalor and scratching their butts and scratching their heads trying to figure out what's wrong because they don't, even though they vote against their own self-interest, because they're on food stamps, they're on government housing programs, they're on all these social programs, but yet they're voting for the very party that's trying to destroy what's helping them to sustain in society. Because without those programs, you can only imagine where they'd be. But yet we're the ones on the planet.
Well, you're absolutely right. And, you know, blacks working for the federal government. And then if you're saying that the other party said, well, we want to get rid of most of the departments in the front, but why would you vote against? That's your self-interest.
Exactly.
If a lot of blacks are working for the federal government and you have another party saying they want to get rid of the federal government, that would be voting against your interest. That's not smart.
If you're a working single parent and you need that child care voucher, that payment, that help with child care so you can continue to work, you would be voting against your interest. If you depend on food stamps because you work or you're disabled, you're voting against your self-interest. I don't get how
here they go. Well, you don't need the government. We're going to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. Now, here's a statistic you get from Jeff and Tracy. Tell them to go and find me the black Republicans who are creating jobs for blacks. If you want to make a case why blacks should move into the Republican Party and things of that nature, then show me the blacks, blacks who are sitting next to white folks, sitting at the tables of power. Show me the job creation where these blacks are creating jobs for other blacks. then you can make a case why this should be the party. This is where we can create jobs for ourselves. But they don't exist. And I know they don't exist. And Jeff and Tracy know they don't exist.
Because here's why they don't exist. I live in a very suburban area. And if you go into most of these employment areas, like the banks and all that, where the good jobs are, you will not see a black face.
That's correct.
And these are very conservative Republican districts. But yet you will not see a black face. And there's black people living in these areas, but you still will not see a black face. If you do happen to see it, you'll see one or two, and they're not in a position of management. We have a case in point. There's a grocery store right down the street that I used to work at, my sister works at, and a couple of my friends work at. All the black employees they have, or on the lower end workers, they don't have not one black person in management, not one.
Right, pushing buggies.
Exactly, pushing buggies, cashier, and stock of shelves. Not one black person in management. Had a very well-qualified female who was highly qualified to take a management position. She was a black lady. Instead of going in-house, they went out-house and brought in a Chinese lady, Korean, whatever she was, she's Asian. And she did a horrible job. I had to leave that job because she was so bad. So I'm sorry. When they say when I look around, I don't see what they say. Whatever they say is on paper. I'm looking at real life because sometimes what you see on paper is not indicative of real life. And
well, here's another thing. Here's another thing.
This is Jeff's favorite song.
Can't wait to have it in gold in my house.
Jeff, you ain't singing. Jeff. Jeff.
I don't remember the words straight.
Jeff.
Hold on.
It's coming up. You can do this. Get the mic. Because you like to sing. Come on, Jeff.
Yeah. I don't know the words, Tracy. I forgot the words.
Here.
It's so emotional for me. I don't want to go. I don't want to do this over the radio.
Jeff, I can't get you to stop singing. You've been singing in my ear all day long.
I have not been singing in your ear. I was singing across from your ear.
Here you go, right here. Here you go. This is your cue, Jeff. Come on now. Okay, Jeff, come on. Jeff.
I don't know the words.
You're good at this. I watched you. Come on, Jeff, sing. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Mm-hmm. Listen, Michigan man says I don't like black people. You won't sing.
You have a self-hatred.
I got a self-hatred.
You got a
understand.
Deep amount of self-hatred. Absolutely. I know you don't.
Here's the thing, Tracy, that gets me about
I gotta,
this stuff.
No. He said, I got a self.
Yeah, but.
Because I don't want to be black because I got a perm in my head.
I'm the same thing or worse. You know.
Yours is not as bad as Tracy's, Joe.
Okay.
Doggone it. Wait a minute. I need for you to explain this. How do I have a deep amount of safe hatred?
Hey, you know, let me invite people. There's about two or three black Republican organizations. You can find them on the Internet. Go look up their agenda. Their agenda is a shadow of white Republicans. Absolutely nothing that addresses the infrastructure of the black community. It's a nothing but the same white Republican agenda warmed over. I mean, you just got a few blacks with greasy, shiny faces
I want to know when did I get to this self-hatred thing.
I'm going to leave
Jeff here alone. I need to know, how did I get to self-hatred? I don't understand. I embrace my color and my race, but I also keep a global view in mind, realizing that, I live in a world that's not just black.
Tracy.
If you embrace your race,
then you would call yourself the correct political term. That's the first thing. You're an African.
Hold on.
You're an African.
What? I'm not an African.
I'm not an African at all.
I'm not an African.
That's okay.
I'm an American who has an African descent, but I'm telling you now, I'm not trying to live in Africa.
Here we go. Here's the self-hatred. Did anybody tell you you had to move to Africa?
I'm just saying. I'm not African. How can I be African? Hold on. How can I be African if I ain't never been to Africa?
Tell him to go down to his nearest university.
There's Jews in America that never been over to Israel. Jewish is a race of people. I'm black. I'm a black American.
What race is that?
This is crazy, is what it is. Well, I was going to say something, but I'm not going to use Jeff's term and get kicked off. But here's the problem, okay? To have an ideology that says I will not kill black children in the womb, to have an ideology that says I believe that a man and a woman constitutes marriage, okay? To have an ideology that says, you know, I don't want to take something from somebody else and give it to somebody else because they don't have as much. To have an ideology that says, I'm going to work for what I get, that's having an ideology that's white and wrong. That's having an ideology that's self-hatred. Man, you crazy.
Wait a minute. Everything you just named is African. So what are you talking about?
Why can't that just be?
That's an African ideology. What are you talking about?
Everything I just named is
under the Republican platform. Now you take that and smoke it.
Hold on. Eric, go ahead.
No, that wasn't me.
Who was that? You just called my name up. Go ahead, 440.
I got a question for you. The black community is getting a raw deal. That's a fact. All right? Now, why wouldn't you do a million-man march against Obama and ask him, how come you haven't kept your campaign promises? Plain and simple.
He didn't make any to black people.
He didn't even land his plane. How profound would that be? 440. He kept his campaign promises to black people.
He gave you a phone. That's it.
He didn't.
No, that was under Bush. He just took it over.
He promised to lift you up and yada, yada, yada.
No, he didn't. He didn't promise you jack.
You tell me one place where he said that and now go along with it.
He did not promise black people a thing, and they didn't ask for anything, yet they overwhelmingly supported him. He didn't promise. As a matter of fact, he has not landed his plane in a black neighborhood since he got in office.
Well, there you have it.
So when he comes to town, he never comes to the black community. He goes out to Poland where you got to get a ticket to get there.
Thank you.
I'm talking about a speeding ticket.
That's because American politics has to do with it answers to interest groups. And blacks have
Wait a minute.
Even you making that statement is not nothing profound. The black community has no agenda. So it's really answer to them.
Hey, Tracy, this past weekend, didn't he go to a Native American reservation this weekend?
Last week. Yes, he did. He ain't been to a ghetto yet.
Yeah, that's a black reservation. That's what the ghettos are.
As a matter of fact, when Maxine Waters actually called him out, next thing we knew, she was under investigation.
That's right.
And you want to call me non-black?
Yeah, absolutely. Yet your
black people, every time they go up to somewhere like they did John Conyers and like they did Charlie Rangel and made him an 80-some-year-old man grovel, but they knew because he was going to become the most powerful man in the House, and the Democrats did it, and you sit back and say nothing and say, oh, we love them? Hello? You can blame Republicans all you want. But this ain't about Republican. This is not about black and white. This is about just doing the right thing. And right now, we get ready to get shot because we are not prepared for what's coming our way.
Yep. Yep.
And because I don't call them, I know I ain't no African. I ain't never been to Africa. Yes, I plan on going to visit, but that's the closest I'm going to go. I am an American who happens to be black and who happens to be a child of God. Thank you, Jesus.
Right. Okay. Yep. Sound good.
It's just real.
Yep.
Well, see, this is the thing, Michigan, man. You're saying stuff like we're Africans. I'm not an African.
But that,
my people came from Africa, no doubt. But I really know very little about Africa because I don't live there. But I know this. I know the Africans that come over here don't really want to mix with the black people here. And they have a good reason for that, and I respect that reason because the ignorance. They don't,
and as a matter
they can't take it.
Let me say this because I'm going to go and just handle the rest of the show. I got about 4 minutes before I bounce out of here, but I want you to understand something. The reason why we're in the mess we're in is because of black people like you.
Like who?
You?
If you had the ideology I had, we'd be in much better shape. You can believe that.
Yeah, I can just imagine we would be.
We'd be in much better shape. You can believe that.
I'm quite sure we would. We would be one more step lower than we are today.
Yeah, okay.
You are.
Okay. You
I like him.
All the white folks that's listening to you know better than that. They're laughing at what you said.
As a matter of fact, I have learned one thing from black folk like you. The reason why we can't get nothing done is because you want to be a separatist and not an inclusionist. And you think that you can do things all by yourself, and you can't. You can't get nothing from nothing and make something out of it. And our problem is we don't have nothing. We ain't going nowhere, and we don't want nothing. And black people like you hold the rest of us down.
Because
you won't hold your own kids accountable.
Hey, I'm a separatist, but the entire infrastructure of America is white land. But I'm a separatist. Think about that. I'm the separatist. But the entire infrastructure of America is and has always been white. But I'm the separatist.
Yes, you are. Because right now, if you don't realize, you've got to live in this world, be a part of it, and make sure that you get what you get out of it. Because right now, black people are sitting at home waiting for somebody to give them something, and they don't realize they got to go make it for themselves. And those of us who are trying to make it for them, they get pushed down like you, pushing other people down outside, trying to tell them they're nobody, and they're not black, and they're not black enough. Why can't you just be a person and just do the right thing? Because you can call black right, and you can call black wrong. And kids need to pull up their pants, get an education, and actually go to work and get a job. Become productive, and then give back to their own community. And you got Africans that don't even come back by the community. You support President Barack Obama, and he ain't even flown over it, sent you a crumb, nor care about you, but you hold him up like he's some god, and all he does is walk all over you, but yet you love him.
Yeah, the only thing about that speech right there, you could put the date 50 years later, and it was still be the same thing. You're not saying anything. You're just talking. Everything you say is a matter of fact. We already know all of that. So what's the point?
So what are you doing about the changes? See, that's where the fact comes in. What are you doing to change it except just trying to be black and call people African? All you need to do is get out and talk to your people and quit telling them to be black, but to be responsible.
Hey, listen,
pull their pants up, teach their job, tell them to take care of their children. Quit spreading your legs open like it's a gate somewhere.
Yeah, white folk are doing that too. So
I ain't talking about white folk. I'm talking about black folk.
So
you really don't want to know how I feel.
Those are ancillary issues.
That's always the excuse. The white folks do it too, so it's okay.
Yeah. When I'll say that, when I hear something goofy like that, white folks doing it too, I ask them, how many white ghettos do you see? And
they integrate with ours.
I mean, you got four whites, yeah. But I said, how many white ghettos do you see? You don't. You'll see a Hispanic ghetto, the barrio.
That's about it. And they live, but they're not staying there too much longer right now because they get rid of themselves out.
They get out. Yeah, they get totally out. They do not play around with this.
I'm taking a break. I gotta go and be white. So I'll be back tomorrow. Y'all be good. Just take over. I'll see y'all on the other side.
You as well. Well, I guess that's our phones are much simpler for the day. Maybe I get off the phone now.
No, I'm still here.
Listen, those terms, American, these are just terms. They're political terms. To call yourself an African is a political term. We're talking about global politics. This is that is your place. You just don't know it. You're not an American.
Listen, man.
You have to be a European to be an American. You have to be a European to be an American.
Let me tell you something, dude. I'm not African, okay? I'm an American, plain and simple. Because of the color of my skin, that does not make me an African, okay? The color of my skin is just dark. Okay.
Listen.
So, you can't force it on me.
It's like kryptonite. I understand. It's like kryptonite. To politically call yourself an African, we're not just talking about the color of your skin, dude. We're not so simple-minded. We're not just talking about because you don't live on the African continent. You've been too simple-minded. I'm telling you that you're an African, and politically, that's how you should align yourself. You're not an American.
Bull.
You can call yourself
bull. Bull.
Hey,
to align myself, politically because of the color of my skin is asinine. That's stupid.
I didn't say to align yourself just because of the color of your skin.
That's what you just
you
said. That's what you just said.
Because of the global politics, Goofy. What are you talking
about? The hell with global
politics?
I don't live all over the world. I live in America. I live in South Carolina.
You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying?
You need to be paying attention to what's going on in your neighborhood instead of worrying about what's going on in Africa.
What's going on in Africa?
Do something about what's going on in your neighborhood.
That book has already been written, but what do you mean what's going on? What's going on in the black community, in the black neighborhood? The end game is already written for that. You're just too stupid to know it.
What are you doing to change your neighborhood?
Are you talking about me? Are you talking about me personally?
Yeah, I'm talking, yeah.
Okay, first of all, the neighborhoods that I understand to be black, they're not here in America. So the
what
is
happening to black America? What is actually doing to black America? What is Africa doing for black Americans?
Exactly.
For black Americans?
I mean, you talk about Pan-Africanism. I mean,
shouldn't that
swing both ways?
This is why I can't swing both ways now. It eventually will. The reason it don't swing both ways now is because your home base is there and not here. If you look at every race, they have a home base and then they expand outward. You too busy trying to expand somewhere that's not yours. What part of that don't you understand, man?
I mean, let's go back to slavery. Dude. Why didn't Africa come to America and declare war to bring us back home?
Hey, that can still happen. Are you saying that can't still happen?
I'm waiting.
No, I'm just, I mean, you're trying to be funny,
but that could see
I'm not trying to be funny.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll-free at 1-800-530-WSOM, online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
I guess that kind of sums up what I want to say right now. So anyway, good morning, good afternoon, still getting ready to be afternoon. You're listening to Mornings with Tracy and Friends, Jeff in the air chair. We're going to continue on. I want to pick the brain of a Michigan man because I wouldn't go as far as what Tracy feels about that, but that's what makes the world go around because everybody has their own views and their own ideas about what is what. I'm an African-American because my descent is from Africa. However, I am not an African. Just like the Italian-Americans that live here, even though they have roots in Italy, they're Americans. Their passport, their birth certificates, all identify them as being American. I guarantee if you go to a Middle Eastern country, they're not going to see me as an African. They're going to see me as a American, even though I tan darker than a paper bag. So anyway, here we're live on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial and on iHeartRadio at WSOM 600 AM. The numbers here are 1-347-945-5229. I want you to call in and voice your view. You can talk about whatever you want to talk about. And then I have Stanley still hanging in there, and I have Eric in there, and I have South Carolina and an unlisted caller. But give us a call. Talk to us. You can also go download the WSOM app, and you can hear us at any time. Go to WSOM.com. WSOM600AM.com, and go ahead and download that app, and so you can listen to us on your phone, on your tablet, whatever it is that you have. So we're going to bring the people callers back up. Michigan man, are you still there? 269, you're in there. Okay, 843, you're in the air.
Yep, I'm here, Jeff. I don't know everybody else dropped off for some reason.
Yeah, well, a few people, they're there, they're just doing something else. Because, you know, a lot of people, they call in and they just listen, but usually if they push their one, I can see them up. But we have more people in there. Some of them just sit and listen on the phone. So that's,
I have such a hard time. When someone tells me that my political affiliation should reflect my skin color, and that to me that is the same thing, the same ideology and the same mentality that Adolf Hitler had, Mussolini had the same ideology, you know, and all throughout history we see history peppered with individuals who have that ideology and they're tyrants, they're turning to be tyrants. I mean, you know, it just doesn't make any sense to me. That is an
right.
Aryan ideology. I mean, you know.
Well, what you see there primarily, and that is, that ideology is very closed. It's a very closed ideology. It's just as bad as anything that you did in Germany, anything that they do here, what do you call it when you make people do it your way? I can't think of the name that I want to call, but we'll bring it up a little. Yeah, but it's called something else. Go ahead, 267, you're in there.
Yeah, I think what Michigan is trying to say is that your neighborhood is determined by what is happening across the globe in terms of the economies of the globe, and your status in America is going to be determined by the country of origin that you come from. So when you see Chinese people here or East Indians here, you know, they have a status that's determined by what is the status of China and what is the status of the country of India as far as the world economy is concerned. And when you talk about white Americans, the country of America happens to be a continent that happened to be colonized by different countries that were over, that happened to be like over in the continent of like Europe. So, therefore, if a person has an origin that happens to be European, then they are in the default type position of a person who is considered to be American. And if you're black and you don't recognize that you happen to be a person who is in the global economy, then you have to realize that your origins are coming from Africa, and you do have to pay attention to the different types of economies that happen to be on the continent of Africa as well.
Doc, I'm not going back to Africa. You know, I'd like to visit and see some things, but I'm not going back there to live.
Well, I'm not saying that you have to go back there to live, but what I'm saying is that you just can't say that I'm an American if you are a person who's a black American and not recognize the fact that you happen to be in a global-type economy where the different countries of the world are involved in this economy. This is going to affect the different economies that happen to be like in the different neighborhoods in this country. And the people who are in power are people who are of a European descent or white people. They are the people who are in power in this country of America. And black people happen to be at the bottom. And basically, if you're looking at different groups, whether they be from Asia or whatever, their status in America is going to be determined, is basically going to be determined by the status
of the different
countries that they come from.
I totally disagree with you because my status is not going to depend on Africa by any means or how people view Africans.
What I'm saying is that the Asian immigrants, whether they come from Cambodia, Vietnam, China, Japan, their status in America is determined by what is the economic status of the countries that they happen to derive from. And they're going to fit of an honorary white position in terms of the economy in America. And one of the reasons why we see so many Asians doing well in America is because when they come over here as immigrants, they are basically like almost prepared to come into the educational systems here. They're prepared like over in their countries of origin, and they're prepared to take over small businesses and to get into higher education from their countries of origin. And even when they engage in business here, most of them have some type of connection to their countries of origin.
Well, that's because they know. No, that's not why. The reason why they're so successful in America is because they have their culture and their family. They know who their family is.
But their culture and their family is all derived from their countries of origin. It's all derived from their countries of origin. Most of the Chinese people here, most of the people here from India, they are still connected to their countries of origin.
Yeah, but we are not by any means.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is that this concept of America, that America is this country that happens to be like some type of melting pot, it's not a melting pot. It's basically a hodgepodge of different cultures, of different peoples who have come together to make this new type of an economy. You can't come into this country and have a fallback position and say that, you know, a person can't say that that person happens to be just an American and they can't recognize their country of origin, because your country of origin is going to determine the type of identity that it's going to determine the type of identity that a person is going to have in the country of America. And that sense of identity is going to determine if that person is going to determine
it's not going to determine a doggone thing, Doc. I'm sorry.
In the economy.
Sorry to disagree with you on that, but no, I don't agree with that. It doesn't determine that. What determines that is what you decide you're going to do, and what you're going to go and do some things with your life, your education, what you're going.
But in most cases, what people decide what they're going to do is determined by what their cultural framework is. So therefore, people are going to make decisions on education and in business based on what cultural framework they come out of. And that cultural framework is going to be determined that cultural framework is going to be determined by the country of origin that they come from.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead, Eric.
Philly, I come from a family of 7 kids, 4 girls and 3 boys in 1 household, and I got an additional 3 brothers in another household. Okay? Let me tell you something, man. There ain't no way I should be working on a doctorate right now. But I am. Okay? The signs are written on the wall. You're going to be unsuccessful. You're black. You're from a big family. You're poor. There's no way. You come from a very small high school. You know, you're in a town that has no industry. So, therefore, you are going to be a, quote-unquote, statistic.
Well, but, sir,
you can't take individual
examples of achievement and try to extrapolate that and make different types of you can't take those individual examples and try to categorize a whole race of people inside the country. What I'm saying is what you're looking at in terms of black Americans in America is happening because you don't have the proper cultural framework. You don't have the connections to countries of origin. This is the reason why you see these lopsided numbers of Asians who are in higher education in comparison to blacks and Hispanics, is because they have this strong sense to a cultural framework and also to a country of origin. When you happen to go into these black neighborhoods, it should not be the case that Asians own all of the businesses. They own every small business in the black neighborhood. If you go on the college campus,
I have to shut you off if you won't listen. Nothing happened, my brother. I'm sorry. You can spout this stuff all day. The Asians have a foot up because of the situation that they are in. They have family. They have businesses already established. Former slaves don't have any of that. And so, therefore, their infrastructure has to be rebuilt. There's no end because we're going to break in about 20 seconds.
But
and
you
I'm
can't
going to
rely
this.
But but you cannot rely.
You're shut off, my friend. I tried to tell you to wait, but you won't wait and won't listen. Diva, you'll be up next after the break. Then Not So Blind Mike will be coming in there as well. So we're going to finish the day out like that. We're going to news right now. We'll be right back after these messages. Mornings with Tracy and Friends. Jeff in the air chair. We'll see you right back.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. A former Austin town.
Hey, Diva, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you feeling?
Oh, my gosh. I'm recovering from an air-possible cornea.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. I was listening on the air talking, and I noticed I wasn't hearing my dog bark in the backyard. Mm-hmm. I look out my window, and I noticed that her halter collar is attached to the dog leash with a stake in the ground, but there mm-hmm. was no dog. Well, I had to get out and drive around the neighborhood. I didn't see her. So finally, I started asking and telling people if they saw her. One lady said, "Oh, I saw her. I tried to hold her, but she got away from me." So it's like, okay, well, this is her name. If you see her again, just call her. Mm-hmm. So I come back around the spot, and the lady's holding her.
That's good news. How'd you get out?
The gate.
Diva. Hey, Diva.
Yes.
I saw something very disturbing on your webpage or your Facebook page.
What you
saw? You don't have to explain it to me. What do you mean you're getting married in 2 weeks?
Oh. That's a game. I got sucked into a Facebook game.
Okay. I was like, what the? She didn't tell me. Didn't tell nobody.
Oh, trust me, you guys be the first to know.
Okay. All right.
I was going to get married July 4th of this year. I wasn't planning on announcing it until I was for sure that I was going to go ahead and go through with that date, because I'm just too itchy about planning a quick wedding. But I pushed it back to next year. I am doing
that. Okay. Just checking. I'm like, that was a new one.
I'm still trying to break.
Wow, congratulations, Diva, if you're getting married. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay. See, I wasn't upset about that because you mentioned the guy was a Republican. That would have had all her friends upset.
He's not a Republican.
Oh, I thought
that. He's more leaning towards more like a libertarian.
Yeah, that's the other side of Republican.
Yeah. Ultra, yeah, we can't talk politics. We don't talk politics.
No, don't. You won't have a marriage if you do.
No, we don't. We
don't let him try to change your voter registration at a drive-in movie in the back.
Yeah.
Okay.
We almost didn't survive our friendship because of politics. So I've learned that's something we can't talk about. Because I break up with my heartbeat. That's why I said, look, I love you too much to talk politics. But he's like, you'll talk with anybody else? I say, yeah, because I can distance myself from people when I get very mad at them. But you, I'll walk away because I never imagined myself being with someone who is so different ideologically than me. I just never imagined that. I thought I'd marry me a lefty.
We had hopes for you and Stanley, yeah.
Yeah, no. I love Stanley, but our personalities don't match.
No, Stanley has some definite beliefs that, as a liberated woman, you might find hard to accept. I try to be politically correct here.
As a conservative person, for my own personal life, I'm very conservative. So, therefore, me and Stanley would not mix. Yeah.
Can y'all hear me speaking? This is Floyd. I'm the one that keep calling in, talking about how they're talking about me on TV and radio.
Back to the calls that we had online before, and I'm just flabbergasted sometimes with what people come up. 267, I was bringing you back in, but I had to go to break, and you wouldn't listen, you wouldn't stop. I don't understand that. Basic rules need to be followed. But anyway, we're going to get on our way. Diva, you are up, or 614, you're up and in on air.
I have no clue what you guys are talking about because I was too busy chasing my dog around the neighborhood.
Who's talking? Dog, local call, you just talking. I just heard you, so please hold on, sir. Go ahead, Diva.
I don't know what you guys are talking about for the past 20 minutes or so because I had to get off to go chase my dog down. He got out, so.
Now, how you keep your dog and sent your daughter away? What's up with that?
One or the other has to stay. I ain't got myself.
You should have sent the dog away.
Don't do
no.
that.
No.
I'm picking with Diva. Diva knows. I call Diva names all the time. And
doesn't make it right. Doesn't make it right.
She loves, hey, she loves to hate me. So it's all
yes.
good. Yes,
yeah,
ma'am.
He got the first dog in the divorce. He ain't getting this one. You can't get the...
Oh, okay.
Oh, jeez. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord.
Oh, man. See what you did? Not so blind.
I'm sorry. I should have stayed on.
He took the brown one.
Yes.
I kept the white one.
Hey, Jeff.
Yeah.
An interracial
yes, sir.
Divorce. I've never heard of that.
Jeff, did you know that Diva's getting married?
No.
Yeah, we're getting married.
I thought I told you. I didn't tell
you. Didn't tell me. You've been too busy hating on me. And why y'all jocking me about going into debt under the Bush administration when I never said nothing about the debt? And I just said that when you cut taxes, you make more money.
Okay.
That's all I've ever said. That's all I said.
On Facebook. It's like Vegas. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. What happens on Facebook stays on Facebook.
Ladies and gentlemen, no, it doesn't. We can't do it like that. Ladies and gentlemen, I got beat up for 2 days straight. Folks hate me because I said when you cut taxes, you get increased to the federal tax, to the federal revenue, to the treasury. And they... No, you don't. Bush did this, and I said I'm not disputing what Bush did. All I'm saying is, right after the taxes were signed, the tax cuts were put in place. $1.78 trillion came in 2003. $1.88 trillion came out in 2004. Congratulations, by the way, Diva. I hope it's very, very fulfilling for you. Now, in 2005, $2.15 trillion was taken in. 2006, $2.40 trillion. 2007, $2.56 trillion. Now, they spent like drunken sailors after that, and that's not just Republicans. It was everybody spent like drunken sailors, plus you had the wars and things like that. So that tax increase or that revenue increase with the tax cuts wasn't felt very much. However, it is a economic fact, and I had a college professor or whatever teacher he is, and Diva and another couple people that I know from growing up, all just, and the Democrat Party chair of McHoney County. I couldn't believe it. He got on that.
I think premise that we got, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, and I'll go back to Facebook and check, that you said the economy was doing well. That's what I
No, I did not. I said he kept the economy Nope, I did not. I said he kept the economy running by doing that. It did pretty good considering 9/11. I said considering 9/11 and the wars. That's what I said. That was my statement. It's a true statement, and it's a fact. If he had not cut those taxes and that extra revenue came in, we would be in a...
Here's what you said. Tax cuts are a touchy subject for people as both sides of the political structure use the subject to stay in power. Tax cuts help spur economic activity as people and businesses find more money to do things with. For tax cuts to work, government spending must be curtailed. Government does not like that as they can't operate without tax money. Statistics will show that more money comes into the Treasury when you lower tax rates as business feels better about that and people have a few more dollars to spend on creature comforts. The only enemy to revenue and tax cuts is government overspending. However, look at my previous quote. Okay, blah, blah, blah. But I think what we picked up on was the fact that you said tax cuts help spur economic activity as people and businesses find more money to do things with.
They do.
I think
They absolutely do.
I think after 9/11 that was true.
It's true all the time. No. Look at the Reagan tax cuts. It did the same thing.
How come the Bush tax cuts didn't help people go out there and spend?
It did get people to go out and spend. Don't forget, your unemployment rate did not drop till 2006 or 2007. Excuse me. It didn't drop till 2007. Look, 9/11 almost destroyed your economy. That's what it was made to do. That's what it was set out to do. They didn't just want to attack the United States militarily. They came after destroying the United States by destroying its economy. So they were going to do a three-prong attack. They attacked your trade centers. They attacked your military center, and they were getting ready to go to your governmental center, which would have been either the Capitol or the White House. With that third plane that they shot down.
And I think people recognize that. That's why after 9/11 attacks, when Bush came out and said what you could do is you could spend, people still spent their money. But as the recession started happening in 2007, 2008, well into 2010, people started curtailing and being, tight-fisted with their money, even though they
Go ahead.
Here's the part of the economics of that nobody ever talks about. It's not where they do a tax cut, and then all of a sudden, all of America sits down and rationally goes, wow, I got an extra $200 a year to spend. Now's the time to expand my business, or now's the time to whatever, even our private lives. Most of us do, there's still some left economics. Is how we do our household budgets, most Americans. When they write all the checks all week, and at the end of the week there's $12, people say, well, what are we going to do with a $12 tax cut? Well, I'll tell you what you do with a $12 tax cut that week. You get to Saturday night, and your wife says, hon, I don't feel like cooking. You go, well, I think I got some money left in the checking account. Why don't we just call Domino's and order a pizza? Now, that may seem insignificant, but that's $12 that would not have gone into the economy. Just because you did get a little tiny insignificant tax cut. And what happens is, if you understand how local money works, a dollar entering your local economy in 90 days before it leaves your local economy, it circulates anywhere from 15 to 22 times. At 22 times, that $12 became like $240 because it kept going around, going around, going around, and then it left the economy. Now, when you spent that $12 at Domino's, that increased Domino's bottom line, and Domino's had to pay another 30 cents back to the government in taxes or another 40 cents or whatever the profit was on that pizza. And that's where it then stimulates more revenue for the government. It is not a thought out, hey, we're getting an extra $25 a month tax cut. Let's go buy a TV set. It's just because most of us, including most small businesses, there's still some left. Maybe this would be a good day to do a little something extra. It's not linked directly to the psychology of, hey, they're cutting our taxes, now we can expand our business. Only bigger businesses think that way. So it has benefits. At one point, I just wanted to get in on something, Jeff. I didn't mean to talk about taxes. The gentleman who was saying about when you are the generation or the prodigy of a slave mentality and you have no roots back to your country, that puts you at a disadvantage. There's two points I just would like to make. A lot of the Asians who came to this country fled their country. They came from Cambodia and Laos and North Vietnam and stuff, and when they could. And they fled to this country. They came from communist China, and they just came here and started pretty much like any immigrant would. Now, that is not exactly a slave parallel, but one thing is parallel for all people on the planet. If you see a problem and you then identify what the solution is for that problem, it then falls on you to take the solution or stop complaining. If you see the Asians getting ahead because because their culture values education, there's nothing stopping anybody of any race, any color, any gender, any religious belief in the United States from pursuing an education if it'll improve your lot in life. Once you've identified the problem, you can no longer say you're a victim of the problem. It falls upon you then to work the solution.
Well, no doubt about it.
My great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was a slave, and therefore that's why my life sucks today. Yes, there's inequities in that statement. I agree in that situation. But it doesn't mean you throw your hands up in the air and do nothing, because that nothing will never be the right answer to any solution.
I agree with what you're saying, but I think the proper solution should be to go get successful people and let them teach young kids and young adults
sure.
how to be successful and how to make money. Because you could have
yeah,
the
but they don't want
degree.
You to.
Hey, that's I agree with you, Jeff, and I don't understand how come
well,
we don't have that. How come we don't put the school? How come we don't put as the teacher the people who done $1 million, $2 million, whatever $1 million, and let them teach the young kids how to do.
Listen
successful.
Now, you want me to tell you why, and I'm going to tell you exactly why. Because.
Why,
because one side of the political structure needs to keep you poor and ignorant so that they can, one, wipe you off the face of the earth, and that's why they fight for abortion like it was the last thing that they could possibly do. Okay, number two, they don't want you there because they need to stay in power and they need to be able to tell you anything to vote for them so that they keep themselves in power. They need you poor because then they still have an underclass, low-cost workforce in America that they can use however they want to use.
Uh-huh.
And then the other side of the spectrum doesn't argue too much with that one. And so, you know, so therefore your inner city and poor people, black, white, and Hispanic, are being merchandised by the political system of America. And we don't realize it, and one day the Hispanics are going to. By the year 2050, you know the Hispanics will be the number one group in America.
I thought it was
whites
2020.
Will be the 2050. This is Pew Research, not Jeff Green.
They keep pushing that number back because at first it was 2010. Then it was 2015, 2016, and then 2020. Now you're saying it's 2050.
Yeah. Right. The Klan speeches in the 30s that if we didn't take action in the Klan in the 30s, and I'm saying we because white people are to blame for that whole nonsense, but if we didn't take action, every white woman in America would have to be pregnant by some black man by 1946. So they kept having to roll that one back and roll that one back. It still hasn't
well,
even happened yet.
Well, here's the strange thing about that, though, not so blind, Mike, that you're going to have pretty much a race of mulattoes in America because
yeah.
white people will be the minority then. They'll be only in about 20%
mm-hmm.
of the people, maybe 25% of the people. They'll
right.
be the largest minority,
right.
but and black people are going to make up 5%.
Right. And what's happened
and that,
in the black, I'm sorry, what's happened in the
no,
black demographic in the United States, it's sad because the abortion is the valve on the boiler to keep it from exploding and having too many black people. But if they keep the number down and they keep giving the illusion that government can give, and the black vote against their ultimate best interest by voting for people in office that really don't do anything to change the plight of the black man in America, they only need 3% to win an election. So they have a vested interest in keeping the black population down to just enough to sway the vote.
Quickly, Dee, because
okay.
yeah, quickly because
I had asked before I get off the break is poverty is the problem? If Democrats are creating poverty or allowing poverty to run rampant and not doing anything about it, and the Republican Party is the best choice for poverty, how come there's...
No, I didn't say that, but go ahead.
I mean, that's what it sounds like you're saying.
No, ma'am. I'm telling you that you need to start getting in the system and controlling it for yourself. Stop letting these people sucker you for your vote every year and sucker you for your vote and stand up for what you need to have in your community. You get suckered. You don't ask for nothing. I'll see you Friday. Be back the same time tomorrow.
Website for more info about Tracy and...
Hey, Diva, congratulations on your wedding. It's a shock. It kind of dashes my hopes.
congratulations, Diva.
Congratulations. And you are in my prayers for the situation between your decision with your daughter and everything else, that goes as well as you would hope it would. Okay?
Thank you. I appreciate
it. You're welcome. I've got to run. I've got to. Hey, Stanley.
Yes?
What you said about people who have had some success. Sharing the knowledge of that. I'm hanging up because John, my intern, who's here visiting from Michigan for the summer, he and I are going to go back, and I'm going to share some more of my wisdom with the young fellow.
That's good. I'm doing some courses on copywriting with Dan Kennedy. My God, it cost me a lot of money, but, man, I think it's going to help me a lot.
Yeah, exactly. And just, anybody can be a mentor to anybody. Just be willing to share what you've learned the hard way through life. And so that's what I'm going to go do. But it's fun because it's like having another son. The difference is I get to send him home before his teeth need to be fixed.
Yeah, that's why when you're saying education, that depends on the education. I think education of health, education of business, and education of relationships should be the focus. Not education of, fine, it's good to know history and math, things like that.
Yeah.
But those things are more important when it comes to money, health, and relationship. We should do some education on that. And I don't see nothing being done with those things.
Right. And well, we try. We try the best we can. And I would just encourage anybody who's still on the line who hears us, you don't have to be a CEO of a Fortune 500 company publicly traded to grab some young people under your wing and just share some thoughts with them a couple times a week. You know?
I agree.
So, Stanley, take care of yourself. Diva,
take care
of yourself too, hon. Glad you got your daughter back.
Yeah, Diva getting married. My God.
What? Yeah, pray for me.
Oh, God. I wish you happiness, Diva. I truly do. Because I wish you be the example for your daughter of great marriage and good things, because we need more of that. I'm sure you will be a great wife for your husband.
Then I'm hoping.
You don't have to hope. You just are. You don't have to hope. You just are. He needs to do what he needs to do, and you need to do what you need to do, and fall in love, and do what you got to do, and raise a daughter that she could say to people in school, my mama and my dad, my stepfather and my dad are together, because there's too many people who are not together.
That's true.
So, that's what I wish for you.
Thank you. And what did I miss while I was gone?
No, I don't know.
Where's Michigan? And what happened to Floyd? He was saying something. He's trying to say something.
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
I'm still here.
Okay, Michigan's still here.
What's going on, y'all?
What happened to Floyd? He was, I don't know what he talked about. He said they keep talking about him on TV.
Yeah. And don't talk about politics. Well, maybe you could talk one thing with your husband about politics. I'm sure he believes in the Ron Paul thing with foreign aid, with foreign, that we should mind our own business and stop trying to resolve other countries' business. If he's a liberal.
He's iffy about it because he believes in that, but he also is like, but wars spur the economy. I really don't go. We really do not talk politics because, man, we got in some heated arguments. I would sit down and be like, I'm not talking to you for 2 weeks.
Well, you don't have to do that, then.
He'll keep trying, and I'm like, look, I'm going to be the bigger person. We're not going to talk about this.
No, the problem is, it's like when one party or any party is saying to the other party, you lie, you do this. But when we tell them the same thing and you discredit it, then all the war is going to start.
Well,
oh, he knows.
I think Jeff and Tracy, you know, they both know that. This is really entertainment. I mean, I hate to say it, but.
Yeah, it's like if one president, you're saying Obama did this, okay, fine, I'll acknowledge he did that, he didn't do that. But when we're going back to your president, George Bush, what he did, and we're telling you he didn't do that, and you're defending him like, oh, no, it was justify the war. I'm like, really? You know, before going to war, I think they should have thought about it and saying, are we making the right decision? Because look at what we're happening now. Now Obama is like saying, do I go back or I don't? I don't know what I'd tell him if I was advising him.
The fact of the matter is, no matter what, Cheney was going to push Bush no matter what.
I agree with you.
But in order for him to get on board, for the American people to get on board, he had to come up with this cockamamie story about weapons of mass destruction, how Saddam is killing his people, and how he can possibly come after us and have another 9/11.
I don't understand. Weapon of mass destruction. What? He's going to come with a nuclear bomb and throw it and say, I'm going to go against the United States? Really?
Well, he was able to build off the fear of 9/11. He was able to really, the only reason why he was able to go to war with broad American support and congressional support was because 9/11. If 9/11 would have never happened, guess what? Saddam would still be sitting in his palace in Baghdad.
Yeah, because he wasn't doing something crazy. Yeah, fine, we don't like him, but his people was okay. It's like, what?
So now look at it. I got upset when I found out President Obama was sending troops back, but then I found out, okay, well, they got to support the people who are there to protect the contractors and the embassy. But as far as actually going back to war, no, I feel like the Iraqis need to step up.
Yeah, he can't do that. We can't play that game. We're going to lose.
Think the fact, the reason of the matter is that they can easily say it because they haven't seen someone come back so messed up. And they haven't been through that. They haven't. Yes, it's one thing to say, yeah, my cousin went off, you know what I'm saying? But to sit there and have your spouse or a parent or a brother or sister, you know what I'm saying? Someone you saw and dealt with on an everyday basis, someone you is so involved in your life, and all you can do is sit there and worry about whether or not to come back the next time you see them is going to be in a body bag. I'm sorry, I went there with my ex-husband. We were still married, and I went through that with my father twice.
Mm.
And it takes a toll on civilians. It takes a toll on their marriages. And you wanted to send them back like we passing out candy on Halloween. I'm so glad John McCain is not president because I can only imagine what
would
have happened.
We would have still been in war, Diva. If John McCain would have been president, we would have been there for 20 years.
Romney, too. When I think about it, Hillary, too. Hillary would have, since she would have been sending us to war, too. That's why I don't know if I could support her in 2016.
Yeah. But so let me ask a question. Why do you think that, and you, I believe you're correct, even if it's a Democrat or a Republican, that the warmongering or the war-type mentality will still be there? Why do you think that is?
Whether it was John McCain?
Yeah, whether it be Hillary or McCain. Why do you think either one of them, I agree with you. I mean, what is it about war that America likes? Or what?
I don't think America likes it. To be honest with you, I think I think it's more of a money-making scheme. Certain businesses do well when it comes to war, like your Halliburtons and other military contractors. They do very well when it comes to war. That's why they push and they lobby for these wars. These are the same people who are dishing out lots of money to get these congressmen elected, so they can push for these wars, these skirmishes. Halliburton,
that's
correct. Lots of banks.
Yeah, it's about money.
Well, see, that's why I just don't see how there's a where's the win for black folk in the politics. How do they win?
The only way we won was the fact that we can say, well, we have a black president. And I can't even really say that was a win because look how they treating him. And look how they got other blacks. So just because he's a Democrat, it's okay for you to go along with the racist and the bigotry that's in your party. You put that to the back of your head because he's a Democrat. You don't want to acknowledge that. And I'm not the one who's going to always pull out the race card, but a spade is a spade. This man is being treated differently. Clinton was a Democrat, and I don't care what anybody said, the Clintons are far left in ideology than President Obama will ever be. But Clinton may have had some pushback when it came to Congress, but when it came down to sit down at the table and it really worked, they did it. The Republicans refused to work with Obama. This time, oh, he don't negotiate. What's negotiation to you? What does that mean to you? That means give and take.
Yeah.
You got to sit down. Okay, you don't like this idea, but that's good. No idea that President Obama comes up with is a good idea to them. None at all. So how can you negotiate with somebody who is saying, I don't like any of your ideas, but here's my idea, they're better. And then he's constantly trying within, I think, the first year that Republicans took over the House of Representatives. After that, sometimes you're going to say, F you. I know I would.
I would, too. Go ahead,
Michigan. Yeah, well, one of the things, that's what I always say, if one of the markers that you can look at to see that you're living in a European culture is that either way the pendulum swings, whites win. I mean, even when it comes to the politics. You know what I'm saying? They appear that they're losing, but whether it's a Democrat or a Republican, whether it's a Democratic policy or a Republican party, either way they win. You see what I'm saying? They don't lose. Now, you just may have a certain group of whites who are not benefiting like they would like to based off this policy, but they don't lose. Does that make any sense?
Yeah,
it does. I don't really, I'll be honest with you, I know my white friends gonna be mad, but I just don't understand white poverty. I just don't. You look at black people and say, oh, it's because of the poor choices that you made that you're poor, but yet there are a lot of white people who are poor too. What happened to them? How come they're not being singled out?
Right, that's a good point. Whenever you have a free market capitalist political economy, you're going to always have poor, and you're absolutely right. If that was the case, you know, why was poor? And you got plenty of them that's poor. I got businesses in their communities. And when I say they poor, a lot of them doing better than blacks.
I broke my heart. I went to PetSmart the other day, and I saw this white family. That's all I see around me, really, is white people. And a little boy, and the family just looked, I mean, he had duct tape holding one of his whole entire shoes up, clothes, holes in his clothes. I go outside, see what car they get in. They got a bumper sticker that says, vote for Romney. I said, oh, they should have took that off. I'm like, obviously, they're poor. You can clearly see that they're poor. But yet, you would think the Republican ideology and their logic is there are no poor people in their party. Because the only poor people they talk about is black Democrats, as if we're the only poor population. And don't get it twisted to thinking that Koreans are rich. They're not. They run their businesses like sweatshops. They only one person out of their whole entire business is making the money. The rest of them are basically working like slaves. But they're helping their own. But it's helping their own working the rest of their people like slaves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's what I know. When I got my nails done, I was asking the guy. He's like, oh, it's our, you know. He said, no, you don't really get, when he gets paid, his money goes back to the owner because he has to pay off the owner for bringing him over here.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, really? He's like, yeah, that's how it happens. That's how you see most of these Koreans in these shops. He's like, yeah, that's how it happens. He's like, yeah, we're not like black people. We do help our own. But he said, if you really want to get down to it, he said, most of my money goes to the owner because I have to pay him back for bringing me over here. This dude was like 15 grand in a hole. Yeah, and the guy doing my nails, right? If you look at him, I was like, you don't look like the type that would be doing nails, you know, unless you're gay. He said, no, I have a wife, and I have two children. We just had a little son, I think he was a couple months old, and a daughter, I think, was five. And he was like, yeah, he's like 15 grand in the hole.
Wow.
I don't know if I want black people's organizational skills to be like that. That's crazy. But it's crazy how you would really think, listening to Republicans, that the only poor people you see is poor black Democrats. That's the only poor people that exist. And
or
then
they never reflect on what they've done when they were in power. They act like, oh, the war in Iraq was good. And can you imagine if we put all that money and decided to go and try to better ourselves in this country and take all that money for that war and say, you know what, we're going to improve the education, we're going to improve the neighborhood, we're going to improve. You know how far America would have been? Please.
See, and this is why I don't give up, Jeff, and I try to tell Jeff, because Jeff didn't live in the inner city of Youngstown when Clinton was president, when George W. Bush was president, when Obama got in. He wasn't living in inner city. I've seen the difference I've seen the difference when Reagan was president. I've seen how when Reagan was president, George Bush the father was president, Youngstown seemed like just this little bleak hole in the wall. Clinton got in, money started flowing down to the state. Into the state. State in turn, with that Welfare Reform Act and everything, in turn had to spend all that money down to the county offices. It was so much different. It seemed like there was so much hope. George Bush came in, basically cut and gutted a lot of them programs. Because he cut spending, he gave rich people tax credits, he increased the child tax credit, I have to take credit for that. But he kept behind it. And Youngstown went back into the cycle. Now, I don't see much happening under President Obama, but I have to say, and they're being obstructionists. The Republicans are just straight up being obstructionists. If Democrats don't get out and vote here, we in trouble.
How are they obstructionists, Diva?
Because when you refuse to even acknowledge that someone of the opposite party can have a good idea, so you down and talk things out and work things out, then you are an obstructionist.
Well, here's the problem you run into, okay? You got the House on one side, and you got the Senate on the other side. All right, there's a procedure they have to go through to get bills passed. All right? Harry Reid has shut everything down.
I looked that up, and no, Harry Reid is not just shutting everything down. Republicans are passing bills.
Unless you do what he wants you to do, unless you pass the bill the way he wants it passed, or it doesn't look the way he wants it to look, it's shut down.
If you can't, No, the game is, if I can't get the votes, I'm not even going to bring it to the floor. That's been played by both Republicans and Democrats. Boehner has done it.
The Democrats are in charge of the Senate, Diva.
But
you got to go to conference at some point in time.
But the bill
but
that
can't
comes
go to,
from... Hold on. It doesn't matter that Democrats are in charge of the Senate because you had the filibuster in place. So Democrats can come up with bills all they want, but as long as that filibuster is in place, there's nothing they can do. They don't have a filibuster proof authority.
I will be glad for November.
I will be glad for November too, but I just don't see us getting 60 seats. I don't see the Republicans getting a majority either, but it's just going to stand thin.
No, I don't think the Republicans will take they're going to remain, they're going to have the majority in the House and the majority in the Senate. But,
I don't think
they will. What's happened now is the genie is out of the bottle. The genie is out of the bottle. I mean, you know, you've got a situation where, you know, you cannot deny. You know, after you look at scandal upon scandal upon scandal, you know, there's something definitely wrong, you know, in this administration.
In order for the Senate to flip, the Republicans have to pick off some Democrats. And Democrats.
That's what I'm saying. I understand that. But what I'm saying, though, Diva, is you have got to admit there is something awry with this administration. You've got scandal after scandal after scandal. I mean, what?
No, I.
You
got to
admit, there's something going on with this guy.
I don't see the way you guys see. I'm still trying to figure out what exactly you guys are upset about being
You lose 2 years worth of emails.
Okay.
Nobody
that,
loses
I,
2 years
mean,
worth of emails.
That is so. That's a scandal, but I don't see that coming up, because even Jeff had to admit and say, you know, this may not be what we thought it was, because this is coming out of else, and it may not lead back to the
court. This is the 18 minutes of tape that we're missing for Nixon.
Okay.
And if this were George Bush, you know.
Oh, boy.
Democrats would be yelling and screaming at the top of their lungs.
Here's the thing. George Bush lied to us, regardless of what you guys say. George Bush lied to us about one of the biggest war blunders ever.
So, trust me, if it was George Bush, and accepted torture, and accepted a lot of things that if Obama would have accepted torture and the war, trust me not. All hell would have broke loose. So,
waterboarding is not torture, Stanley.
Compared to a lot of people, it is. I'm not talking about the waterboarding. I'm talking about all the rest of the stuff that they did when they took, basically they were taking
waterboarding
captured.
Is illegal.
Yeah.
But
I'm not just talking about waterboarding, the 24 hours
it's
you have to stand up
and
not sleep. I'm talking about all the tactics that they used.
Torture is illegal.
So.
Torture is illegal.
According to who? It is not illegal. The Geneva Convention does not hold waterboarding being illegal.
Just because Bush and Cheney, well, mainly Cheney, got their Attorney General Gonzalez to say that it wasn't, doesn't make it so.
I'm sorry for
the Geneva. The Geneva Convention doesn't hold it as being illegal.
So what? So if somebody's telling you that, okay, if I do waterboarding with you and you say, my God, you're torturing me, and we do it with you, which a lot of people do, what are you going to say?
You know what's crazy? Somebody can say, well, if you're tickling me too much, that's torture.
Come on.
It is torture.
Come on, man. We're putting you in a state that you think you're going to drown and almost die. That's what we're doing.
You're not going to drown. Have you ever been waterboarded, Stanley?
You feel like you are.
Have you ever been waterboarded?
No, I don't want to go through that.
No,
I don't wish it to my worst enemy. I don't wish it to anybody to go through that.
I'm about to drown. I don't want to ever go through that.
I don't want to go through that.
You make it sound like you're like kumbaya and saying, "Oh, it's nothing. It doesn't affect
you." To me, it's not a kumbaya moment. When you've got people out there that want to kill you.
But the problem I want to ask you is if they want to kill you, but you never answer the question why. You never answer the question why.
You guys don't understand a thing about war.
Okay.
You want to fight a civil
war.
You want to fight war. There is no civility in war.
Yeah, but we started a war on the wrong reason. That's what you don't understand. The President of the United States lied to you of saying we're going to war for weapon of mass destruction, and that was a lie. That should have been over.
That was not a lie, Stanley.
That was a lie.
That was a lie.
Okay, how come the rest of the world, go to any place the rest of the world asked and did American
fight
weapon of mass destruction?
You
want to
know where the weapons are?
Go around
the
world
and
ask them.
You know where they're at?
It doesn't matter where they at.
You know where they're at? They're in Syria.
Oh, here we go. Where are they?
They're in Syria.
Oh, okay. Now they're in Syria. And even if they're in Syria, he didn't have a weapon during that time. Period. Even if it was in Syria. So
you're
what?
Talking about
what? You're supposed to be the police of Syria, too? That doesn't make your
point. Saddam sent the daggone weapons to Syria. Plain and simple.
Okay. So let's say he did that. He did send those weapons in Syria. So what? Does it give us the right to invade a country just because they have weapons? In that case, invade North Korea. In that case, invite China. In that case, invade a lot of countries that we don't like. How come you don't do that? How come Americans don't do that?
When did the weapons get sent to Syria? Before or after we declared war on Iraq?
Huh?
When did the weapons get sent to Syria? Before or after we declared war on Iraq?
This was after we declared war on Iraq.
Wrong. Because we declared war on Iraq around the same time, just about after we pulled the inspectors out. The inspectors, before we declared war on Iraq, the inspectors said they couldn't find the weapons. They couldn't find any evidence of weapons, and they needed more time. Bush pulled them out and did declare war on Iraq.
If your own inspector of weapon
are telling you this, how come you can't believe them? What's the problem with that? If an inspector is telling you, give us more time, we can't even find it, you're going to come and see, you don't even know the place and everything, and say, no, there's weapons somewhere. The inspector are telling
Saddam
you we are not finding we're not finding any weapon right now. Does that not
Saddam
tell
said,
you anything?
Saddam said he didn't have any weapons. That's why he allowed the inspectors back in. He said, I don't have any. They called that man a bold-faced liar on national TV.
But you're still going to come to me and say, oh, there's still weapon. Where? The inspector didn't find it.
And I'll admit, I was for the war. I bought it to the height. I bought it to the height of these terrorists and bad guys that's coming for us, blah, 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 blah. Me kissed my husband off in February when he was about to be shipped off to training and then end up in Iraq, kissed him off and everything. I said, you know what, you do what you got to do, stay safe, blah, 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 blah. As time went on, I'm like, wait a minute. The facts aren't adding up. Getting calls from like, ain't no weapons over here. Ain't no weapons over here. We ain't finding nothing. And I'm like, wait a minute. Let me look into this a little more. Then they send them to war half ready, not with all the equipment, working equipment, stuff breaking down in the desert. What kind of stuff? I don't care if Clinton basically decimated the arsenal or whatever he did. You knew he did it. You should have made sure these soldiers were well prepared before you sent them over there. So then now I'm like, okay, listen to more facts and get more facts. Dang, I got fooled. They lied to us. And that's that. Y'all can spin it however you want.
That's what I want to ask conservative. I don't understand. The person who's in call, when people inspect are telling you we don't find any weapon of destruction, how come you're telling me there's still weapons?
That's a good one, Stanley.
please answer that question. The inspector are going there in Iraq, looking every place possible, saying we don't find any weapon, but you're telling me there's still weapons. Please explain me that.
They can't. All they're gonna say is they were sent to Syria.
They're still weapons. People who are professional, it would be like professional of anything telling you have a cancer. As a doctor, and you're saying, no, please prove to me that I have a cancer.
Exactly.
I don't believe I have a cancer.
and it's sitting right there in front of your face.
I'm like,
showing
really?
And it's showing you on a radiograph where the tumor is at, and you still don't want to believe it.
I still don't believe it. Oh, their weapon are still there. The weapon are in Syria, okay. It's not in Iraq, Syria, okay.
Right, okay, so if it was in Syria, why we still invade?
Yeah, why did we invade? Okay, he decided just before, said, man, you know what, tomorrow they're going to come in, and I don't want them to see the weapons, so let's travel all those weapons to Syria before they come in. Good for him.
Them weapons were long gone.
Let's say he did it the day before, and then the people, the inspector came in, and just as it would be like people in the restaurant, that they say, man, we have a bad restaurant, but the inspector's coming tomorrow. We have to clean up this place. Are we going to come back and say, you still have a bad restaurant, and we should close it down?
Come on. I tell you, the logic is messed up.
That was messed up. When I heard the inspector said, like you said, we don't find a weapon, I was like, that's it. Game over. No, but President Bush said, I still think that he has a weapon, and I'm still going to go to this war.
They called him a liar. Bush, they said Saddam kicked the inspectors out, but Saddam didn't kick the inspectors out. Bush
Saddam opened
out
the door and said, come in anywhere you want. You want to see the whole thing?
Right.
Go ahead. I have nothing to hide. And then we bombed the place, and then we killed, and then he's coming and said, we're going to war. Who started the war? Iraq didn't say we were in war against America. Iraq was just sitting there by to say, okay, 9/11 happened. Okay, it's none of us. Did we do something about it? No, we didn't. Okay, we're okay. Next thing you know, we bombed them.
My ex-husband's MOS was, he's an NBC guy, nuclear biological chemicals, and he was attached to the truck driving unit, the unit that drives all the trucks and stuff. He's attached to that unit. And he was the chemical guy. Like, wherever they would go, they would send him out and he would test for chemicals or biological weapons or stuff. He's like, man, they ain't finding nothing. He's like, I haven't found that one evidence of nothing. Nothing at all. And he was there for a year. He was in Iraq. When he first got there, he was fine. He was there for a year and came back, and he is not the same. And yet they want to be able to send him.
Anyways, I have to go.
All right. All right. Yeah. Hello?